Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults, by adults, containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
I don't think
I've listened to the new one.
Like, he, he reads that. He reads All New X-Men, and he's like, he always is pissed about something in All New X-Men, but he keeps fucking
Scott
reading
Kurtz.
It. Yeah, Scott Kurtz.
I don't think I realized that he was a big comic book nerd. I guess
he is.
I assume so.
Yeah.
He's on a podcast
called Comic Dorks from Frog Pants Network.
But it's him every week?
And roughly. When
days,
he goes
yes.
to PAX, he's not there, stuff like that.
Right, right.
But there's like three other guys. Scott Johnson, who runs Frog Pants, he's the host.
Yeah.
And Kurtz is on there and a couple other guys. Yeah, it's kind of fun. They go over comic news and stuff. It's not a bad podcast.
Yeah. No, they're actually moving up to twice a month.
Yeah.
Caffeine's seeping from my tear
ducts,
by the way.
Well, I did my best to dodge. Like, the cast not allowed in here. So I don't know why you just keep weeping blood like was she free?
Are we recording?
Oh, we're actually recording, but
okay.
I figured it's been running for days since we left the last time. You just hear him muttering curses.
Well, it's Riyadh's fault that we're not
yeah.
Well, not really his fault. His job's fault. Credit to do.
Yeah, we are going to have to... Well, most of us are here, minus one. As we discussed, Riyadh is trying to break the 120-hour barrier at work. Once he does, I have instructions to go to his job and shoot him in the head. So, I guess, good luck on that. But the rest of us are here. We are not going to be talking comics, unfortunately. Well, we're going to be talking comics, but our tournament for the best ever is going to be on hold probably one more week. So, are bad on that, but I think I speak for everybody when I say we're still really super psyched to get that done, so just hang with us for a week. What was what?
What was that previous podcast about?
Keyshawn had such a intense experience that he forgot all that.
I remember a lot of G.I. Joe.
I gotta read that
issue. I'm making quotes here.
I had a cracked wisdom tooth between that time and now. I had to load myself on Vicodin. Then I went on a Twitter tirade at people. Apparently,
I noticed.
There's a dark side to me. And when I'm doped up, it comes out.
We gotta get that on a podcast.
just Vicodin.
Hashtag Vicodin.
Got any left?
Start ranting about this.
Bring the bottle.
The Silent Snake Eyes issue and heathens. I couldn't get my mind off of it. I'm sitting there just knowing I'm high. And I'm just, super bitches, bumpuses.
Have you seen the new one? The new movie yet?
Bumpuses?
Retaliation? G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Christmas, though. Retaliation.
Christmas colon Retaliation.
No, go ahead and lay it on me. Is this
Retaliation?
G.I. Joe Retaliation.
The sequel?
Yeah, G.I. Joe 2, the movie.
All right, now, wait a minute.
The modern movie.
Warren Ellis had an animated one that started with an R2. That's why I'm having a seizure.
Resolute was
Thank
that
you.
One.
G.I. Joe Resolute.
I'm glad you remembered.
Retaliation. Okay. So, no, is it out?
It's out. It's been out for two
that's
weeks.
Okay, question. So the third one will be G.I. Joe Restaurante? What's the next thing in the series
Ritalin.
Here?
Well, you know, it's not a sequel to Resolute, so technically there are different things.
G.I. Joe Riyadh.
This is why you never want to miss the podcast.
Because because of the success of the second one, they've already said that they're going to have a third G.I. Joe movie.
They've had success with the second?
Yeah, they're pretty well in the box office.
All right.
So they're going to make a third one. They said they're going to do more ninjas. It was the only thing that I remember reading.
So they're following the cartoon and the comic and the toys.
Yeah,
okay.
It's really about the ninjas. Let's be honest here.
I'm afraid to talk about it. I'm going to say karate or kung fu. It'll be wrong, whatever one I say.
It's Kyle McGraw.
That's actually true because they do ninjutsu, which is not karate or kung fu.
I think we might have heard this last time.
God damn it! Oh, man. Okay, well, at some point, just point of order for the agenda.
Which there's no agenda.
At some point,
we're just going to scatter shit.
We have to talk about it, and hopefully you're watching it. I know you are, but Penny Arcade.
Oh, yeah. Strip Search?
Strip Search.
Yeah.
Now is as good time as any.
Let's do it. Let's do it right now.
I don't know. I've watched episode 10, so.
No. Then.
Elimination number 4 skateboard? Is the most recent.
No, I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen the skateboard episode? Because that's 11, I think.
Oh, you are really behind.
No, the last one I saw, I mean, I tried to catch up today. I thought I was caught up.
Who was your last elimination? Let me ask you that.
The cute girl. What's her name? Lexi?
Yeah.
That was the one where...
Oh, you're 2 episodes behind.
You're 2 episodes behind?
2 episodes behind.
Or 2 eliminations behind?
2 episodes. 2
episodes. Oh, really freaking good.
So
ones,
now we
dude.
Can't talk about it. Huge twist is coming.
You have sealed. Son of a gun. You have sealed yeah. the conversation off.
I'll just play it in the background while we go on the podcast. Carry on amongst yourselves. I'm going to watch this show. I thought I'd caught up. I was ready to talk about it because that Lexi episode was like that was awesome.
I was.
Hulik was ready to pop a gasket.
Yeah,
she is. I was curious to see how far she'd go because she's pretty clearly the best. Pure illustrator in that group, and then she killed it on the elimination. And they Mike almost died trying like having to, like eliminate her.
I know that was so good. Somebody had to go talk the judge down.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. I thought it was Michael, the producer. And I was reading
one of Mike's comments or whatever on the thread of that on the page. On that episode page, and he was saying like, "Yeah, they did end up cutting stuff out. Like, they turned off the cameras as you saw. They took him outside, and they were like talking about it. And you see like, you know, what he says in the episode, right? About
right.
You knew they were going to have to eliminate all of them except one, right? And it hadn't really hit him at all. But he said he was crying for like 10 minutes, and they were really struggling with like what the hell to do. It was like a big freaking deal."
Artist.
You know, it's you know, what really kind of like
she consoled him. In the car when they go to the shame hole.
By the way, bravo on that name.
Yeah, the shame hole. Go wait in the shame hole. It's just the car just goes.
No, seriously, get out.
When he just turned around and started like literally cursing at the cartoon stand,
he was standing behind.
This one sucks.
Yeah, he was
this
doing that. Was
we should go stand out of the bench.
Yeah, that was like, whoa, dude, you're really going overboard now. Like, you don't have to call somebody else out. That's kind of shitty.
He addressed that on Twitter actually later that day. He was like, "Yeah, it was me to Abby, but to be fair, I didn't know her yet." And I was like, "Okay."
Oh, wow. I think they don't meet any of them until they go to that elimination round. Like, none of the artists meet the Penny Arcade guys until that moment.
Well, Abby got it back at PAX East. She actually went. Yeah. She went to one of the Q&As and was like, "Why are you such a dickbag on the show?" So, and it, you know, it's all good. So no one's hurt. Yeah.
I mean, I was telling Cyrus before we started recording, like, it's amazing to see what these people can do because you kind of see some sketches or whatever of themselves or whatever at the beginning of the show when the show first started, but when they really get down to that elimination stuff, and even one of the most recent episodes. I hadn't really seen what Abby. Not just I'm not gonna spoil anything, but I'll say
Abby. I'm trying to remember which one Abby.
She's
a 20 year old.
She's the younger one. She draws the kind of like square jaw looking thing with the chin that's kind of square. The one that Mike went lost his shit on, like when he started talking shit about her drawing in the elimination episode.
She's not the one that in the interview was just absolutely collapsing.
That could be several of them, to be fair.
I don't think Abby did that very much.
No, she was one that refused to say something.
That's Monica.
That's Monica.
Yeah.
All right, then I have no idea which one.
And Erica was the one that went off on all her virginities.
Yeah.
Oh, God!
That was
holy
memorable.
Shit, that was hysterical.
I did the head palm.
You know,
like, oh, God.
I had turned to my wife. I looked at her. She had not seen an episode yet, and I said, "Look, this is good. Regardless of if you like comics or not,
it's
like
great.
A good reality
Yeah,
show.
It is.
The best
you need
I've
to
seen.
Watch it." She goes, "Okay." She turns and looks. It's like,
and then they
virginity for which hole? Like this hole, or you want to know the timing of that hole or this one? And my wife looks at me and goes, "I don't think I'm going to like this." I'm like, "God damn it!"
Bad timing. But what I was going to say was like you. Like some of the art that I've seen from these people before they did some of these challenges and things, I was like, well, I don't know. They kind of don't seem to match up with everybody else. But when they're under the pressure, man, what they freaking create is amazing. It's really cool to see them all just fucking draw the shit out of things.
Which girl is the one that's just constantly fucking?
That's Abby.
That's Abby.
That's how you describe the
moment's okay, got it.
There you go. She's the one that cares the least, I think, about
cursing
on the show.
Would you like some milk in your cereal? Fuck.
Yeah. And, you know, just like what she was, what I'm used to seeing her draw, like these quick, you know, little sketches. And then, like, in episode 11, I think the Ignite Your Spark one, you'll see. But, like, she draws the shit out of that project. I'm like, whoa, all these people can just change their art style.
Yeah, I don't think like, we're spoiling on a, the next one you'll watch, number 11, Ignite the Spark, they're asked to design a skateboard logo. Or,
for Wizards of the Coast.
Wizards of the Coast.
For Magic the Gathering thing. Yeah.
And so they all
Magic the Gathering design for a
the purpose of the episode is like you're an artist for hire, so that you're being hired by Wizards of the Coast to draw this thing for Magic, and they give you like the materials for like their ad campaign, and you have to kind of stay within those boundaries and design a skateboard that this gonna
was
that
it
gonna,
60 or 90 minutes? I want to say 60.
Maybe
which
it was
makes
60
me
minutes.
Might makes me want to throw up,
but they're partnering with some like some festival or something that has skaters involved. That's why they designed a skateboard.
Has anybody actually realized that they're in a game yet? Because so far, what's been driving me nuts the most.
My
is
comments
that
on this actually recently.
Watch the latest episode. He'll comment on it. Yeah,
no alliances. Up to episode 10. Yeah, it's just like, well, the judges said that these two are the worst, so these two are going. If I were in there, I'd be like, who are the best two? Send them in. Let one man.
I want to get to that. Who do you guys? Do you guys have any favorites to win this thing?
I really liked Lexi going in until the whole elimination thing.
Right.
But I don't want to spoil any more than that.
Again, it's only because the most you get exposed to are the ones that have been competing. But the Gladiator. The
Katie?
Yeah. She's really good, too.
I love everything she's written.
She's 30.
Yeah, I think
older... That blew my mind to discover that.
Nick also is 30.
Wow. A lot of them older than I
Tavis
is
30, 31, something like that. And Maki's older, too.
Yeah.
And I think the older ones, like, are cooler under pressure. So I think they tend to produce, like, better... stuff went under the gun.
Yeah.
But some of the other people, I'm telling you, man, I'm continually impressed with what they can do when they're on the spot.
Yeah, I have favorites for different pieces, though. The one I empathize with is the guy that has kids.
That's Tavis.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to rattle him. It's just like, hey, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, I have stared into the butthole of a child.
I've seen the abyss. I have changed 5,000 diapers. You can pitch up one wall and down the other, Kurtz. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know? I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I thought Nick was real strong. Yeah. Again,
I don't know. Can't
spoil
there
that.
There was something.
He seems to always have like a good response, or like that Twitter thing showed me that like this guy's pretty savvy
all
in
right,
the background.
This is too important. Go ahead and talk about the two episodes I haven't seen. That'll catch me up.
So number 11, we teased is the skateboard one. Erica actually will win that.
Erica wins the competition, so she gets
you
to choose
who.
Virginity holes.
Holes, okay.
I think
holes
is enough.
Erica, holes Johnson.
So she
her
wins,
last
so
name?
She has to...
Moen. No. Not even making that up.
M-O-E-N, like Moen.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so she wins, so she has to choose the two people to get eliminated. She chooses Nick and Mac.
Which one's Mac? Mac. Okay,
yeah.
This one reminds me of you.
Really?
Yep.
So they go, they compete, they decide to eliminate both of them after the elimination round. They both get eliminated.
Oh, really?
And at the very end, after the credits, they decide to bring Lexi back.
Yeah. Krulik was on the rampage.
Yeah, and like there's all
bring
kinds
this
of.
Out my
yeah, everyone yeah. was like, what the hell are you doing? You can't eliminate both. Like they had to have this, again, a little back discussion, you know, backdoor discussion of what the fuck are we going to do, because we plan to only eliminate one, so we have a certain number of artists at all times for all these competitions. We were banking on a certain number of people being around. So they're like, well, but both of these comics that they drew are not very good compared to last week, so they decided to eliminate them both and bring
them
back.
Max doesn't end up making much sense, although I think if he's ran out of time, that was the impression I got looking at it.
Okay. Mac has time management problems.
Nick just didn't have a joke.
Yeah, his joke just fell flat. The art was great for both, I thought.
Yeah.
Like, different styles, but...
What were the words?
Oh, it was...
Max was a pantomime script, no words.
But, the words for the thing were flatulence and circus.
No. County Fair.
County...
It was Areola Circus.
No, Areola Circus was...
Yeah, County Fair and flatulence.
County Fair...
Yeah.
And flatulence.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was one thing I was marveling at, is that just to be handed two words and have 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And I mean, I could spend 90 minutes just riffing on trying to figure, just filtering down to the funniest joke.
Yeah.
They probably spend 5 minutes doing that.
So, like,
to tell you, the best two I've seen do this are actually Jerry and Mike themselves. Well, Taxi.
Yeah.
When they did Hustlin' and Double Sided Dildo.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
And they busted that out in an hour.
What was it? It was
Hustlin'? What, the verb?
And then Rick Ross.
Double-headed dildo.
Double-sided dildo.
Yeah.
Holy and I'll recreate this because I don't think you guys saw it streaming. But so they actually had their minions / enforcers bring out that black couch that they always have in the third panel and a tube for Mike to hold so they could talk it out.
Yeah. They actually did their whole, like, fourth panel
thing,
like, live.
Yes. And they were like, okay. So and
were
th-
you
so
there
they're,
for
they're,
that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I streamed it. I watched the stream of it online.
Yeah, I
wasn't there.
I tried.
It was.
So there. I forget. It's, you know, it's real awkward. Like, oh god, what are we gonna? And Mike's going like, okay, so I guess there's one obvious way to go with. And Jerry's like, what obvious?
yeah.
I don't see it. Well, it could just be us, you know, listening to the song, and then the curtains open, and we've got a dildo.
You know, they would have criticized themselves for that, because one of the contestants, they were essentially like writing up what was happening when they were being judged, and they criticized her. It was Katie.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, don't kick me out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they're essentially doing the same thing. Then I was like,
it was great because all the strip search people were there. All the artists were there for this panel. So they were yelling shit at them while they were doing it. And then, by the way, Mike did the whole thing on a Windows Surface tablet. He did not do... He didn't have a Cintiq. He didn't have a... Like, he had a tablet PC, and he drew the whole fucking comic on it. With, like, the SketchBook Pro, right? I think that's what it is. Like,
on the MS.
That's all he had.
What they really ought to do is pull those two apart and have each of them compete against
you. Oh, man. I wonder if Jerry has any drawing ability.
PAX Australia. I want this to happen.
I think I can only remember a couple of times where Tycho actually like drew the comic. I mean, it's horrible. I mean, it pales. Yeah. But, but it would be awesome.
Well, the epilogue to this was at the opening of the second Q&A when they recreated the strip. They actually did it.
Oh, really?
They did that, and they got the dildo, and then they got the
and the people that didn't know about
it. Yeah, it must have been like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, they actually did. I seem to recall they commented about that. It was like, I sure hope you guys know what the hell that was.
Oh, man.
But yeah, definitely a highlight of that particular show.
That whole show is just like, I don't know. It's pretty, I don't want to sound sappy, but it's pretty inspiring to see what these people can do and like, holy shit, this is. And they're not, it's not that stupid fucking Survivor thing where they're just. Everything is so scripted and staged, and the competitions, some of the games are stupid.
I want a little bit more of that. I want more of the.
The cutthroat shit is what you're looking for, right?
Yes. Because
I wouldn't mind a little of that, to be honest, either.
But I just don't want.
I like that they're all getting along, but at some point, right now, there's only one of them that has acted
in
like
it to win it.
The game.
Yes.
You know?
But what I'm talking about is I just don't want to see like scripted moments where like they have a fight, but they don't really mean that.
Oh,
that stupid reality TV crap. And I like that the competitions so far, they've all been kind of cool in their own way.
Yeah.
Like at first they were kind of cheesy. Oh, here's a quiz about your tour. But now it's like spray paint, you know, learn how to use spray paint, learn how to do this,
right.
Like do this, use this, you know. They're really making it
and
fun to watch.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not looking for the drama, the faked up drama part.
No, the real stuff.
the real thing where it's like, all right, I've got to pick two to go, and they're all just so at least until I'd gotten to 11 and 12, they'd all just been well. The judges said these two were the worst, so
that continues.
Yeah. Oh God, that drives me nuts because you know, just all it takes is one. To go, all right, stop going to her.
Yeah, well, I think it's starting to, there's a little bit of a pattern starting to show, too, in the show, where they, not to use the word show too many times, but you can tell whoever gets called out in the, like, analysis part of the competition, they're on the list. And not everybody gets called out anymore. It used to be where they would give everybody something, at least the way they cut the show, not everybody's getting called out. So the people who are, the five of them, let's say that are...
Uh-huh.
They're on the list, right, to get sent to the elimination. And if you don't, your ass doesn't get mentioned in a criticism, you're kind of scot-free, right?
My God knows. If I was playing that game, oh.
Yeah, you'd be, yeah.
Gaming it. I mean, totally. It's just, you know, that black-haired girl who's so damn talented.
Amy Falcone.
Yeah.
Which, by the name, great name. If that is ever a competition, she'll win it.
She's the son of Carmine Falcone. What are you talking about? Fuck up a guy.
Damn it, you beat
Also, Paxis.
That girl, she's incredibly talented. I would be trying to get her out.
Oh, yeah. But as you said, she's the one playing the game.
Yeah,
I think
she. Yeah. I know, and I'm afraid she's going to win because she's the only one playing the game. There's other ones that may be just as talented, but she's playing. Yeah.
But I'm wondering if, like, if as things get down to the wire, when fewer and fewer people are there, if people will start to their switch will flip, and I wonder if that kind of stuff will happen.
Oh, the shit talking in the Areola Circus episode is just spectacular. I mean,
that was a really funny script too.
Yeah. Oh, both of them.
Yeah, both of them are fantastic.
I couldn't read
but
the
I had the same reaction that Mike did. I did laugh out loud at Tavis's.
Yeah.
That one was really funny.
Yeah, that was, it read like a Penny Arcade comic.
And he even used the nose styles that they use on Trenches.
Now. Kill Me Now, yeah. By God. I hate those nose styles.
Thank you.
I can't stand it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do, because via Twitter, I think Scott Kurtz actually commented, like, no, a lot of people do this, and it's like, well, Scott, I didn't say this, and nor would I say it, because it's his strip, it's his choice.
Yeah.
But a lot of people hate that shit, even, I don't care if a lot of artists do it.
Well,
Kurtz is
doing it now, too.
Oh, I think Mike introduced it, Scott glommed onto it.
Yeah,
but
whichever one, it's just killing me.
Yeah, I super hate it myself.
Yeah, pig nose. Yeah, bizarre penis pig nose.
And their color, and it's just like,
I know,
yeah, they're colored in a different way.
Yeah,
right.
I don't care for the adaptation at all.
Yeah, it hurts.
But yeah, loving the show. It's the only other one I've really been able to stand is actually Bravo's Top Chef,
uh-huh.
And for much the same reasons, the competitions in that show are really cool. So
yeah, never seen it. I mean, they're all these competitions have to be contrived by their nature, but the less contrived they sound, like the competition sound, the better I think the show becomes. Yeah. Not to get into too much film analysis or here or anything like that, but the less contrived some of this stuff, and the more you're trying to put the contestants' talents on,
right?
Showcase them, the better I think the stuff gets.
So,
rather than have them all spear fighting, for example, on Strip Search. Like, what the fuck would that
I would
be
watch
like?
That just forever.
Yeah, there needs to be one obstacle course. In this,
you know, like, what?
And then take away their food for 3 days.
Yeah, like, this is dumb.
No, man, you gotta learn to start a fire.
A little bit of drama is good, because alliances are a little bit fun, but
yeah.
If that's the whole thing, I get bored pretty quickly.
I would love to see all those artists try and start a fire.
Do they got oil-based paints and shit in there? They got oil-based paints, alcohol-based paints. They just light that shit up fire real fast. Very simple.
Take away their matches.
I guess take away their matches, then they have a problem, yeah.
That'd be awesome. I love that show.
It's great. It's fantastic.
Show. Yeah, but I really wish that they could somehow do more than one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you've got this show. I could watch those four panels till the cows come home. Man, every one of those is hysterical. And that was built off the old podcast.
Well, we all just need to make sure we kickstart this next year.
No kidding.
Yeah.
As long as we keep
funding those on the agenda, like if you got to this level, they would
absolutely
do that.
Both those
did
were.
We make it to there? I say we. You know, I'm on the team.
Did you see the one where like one of the rewards?
The realm of Penny Arcadia.
Did you see the thing that one of the rewards was that he would call out all the donators' names while he's chasing a duck, and he had like several hundred names, and they took Mike's ass out to a farm that had just a family of. Flock of ducks or whatever multiple ducks are called, and like he's just walking behind them with this printout, like multiple pages calling out the names of the users, everybody on Kickstarter.
Where
the back
you see
of they posted it
on
their
the
YouTube
site,
thing.
This was actually a callback to a strip they did where they were making fun of stupid Kickstarter reward levels.
So they had the reward
that.
Level. they had that reward level and they met it, so they fucking fulfilled it on a 50-minute video, by the way. It took 50 fucking minutes to go through everybody's name in alphabetical order.
That's the longest episode we've ever had. It's just him chasing a duck.
He's just walking behind a duck.
Oh, he's just walking.
And he's got like a jacket on because it's kind of cold, I guess. And like he's got one glove on holding the paper, and the other hand is free so he can flip the pages. And he's just calling out internet usernames
and roaming
while the ducks are like running away. And he had to finish quick because the ducks were like sneaking under this fence at the end, like far away from him. I just skipped. I saw like the first couple minutes and then I skipped to the end.
Oh, man.
Was anybody
out there making fun of him?
Koo was following around with one camera and then they had the cameraman behind him with
another. Kermelik mentioned actually in the post that accompanied it that the proprietor of this particular duck dynasty insisted on being there.
Yeah,
so she was there.
I sure as shit would too. You don't never know what's gonna happen, man. Lose your ducks.
You want to keep your ducks?
Don't lose your ducks, man.
Oh, so anyway, I'm the happiest thing. The realization today when I was on YouTube and watching that episode was when it says season one, SO1 EO8 9 or whatever, and I'm like, hell yeah, they're anticipating more than one.
Oh, for sure. They addressed this at the Q&A.
I am glad they brought Lexi back. Boy, I'm going to be up all night.
And it looks like season two, there's a good possibility we're going to see writer-artist teams.
Ooh, that would be cool, too. That'd be super awesome.
Yeah, tug of war. That'll be
great. Tug of war.
It looks like a Pax Britannia is also possibly on the docket as well.
Pax Britannia. That would be a cool name for it, too.
Really?
Which is what if they have one in England, they don't call it that, I'm going to be super pissed at
them. It was in Australia, right?
Yes, that's
dude,
right.
They got, and if they have one in Italy, Pax Romano. I mean, this is easy. Yeah. This writes itself. This is
yeah. Koo apparently informed them they were capable of doing 4 or 5 a year. So yeah, look forward to that.
God. That guy never sleeps, so he can plan all that shit.
No,
if he ever,
they just better live longer than me. That's all I ask. And they better do it forever. Although, honestly, the couple of the guys that are coming out of this show, I'm going to have to find wherever their websites are.
Oh, yeah. They're all, if you go to the strip search page, they're all featured there. They all have their websites there.
There's no way some of these guys are not working for them.
Super exposure. Like, just the exposure they all have, like, is massive.
Yeah,
like,
Penny Arcade's getting too big for just Mike and Jerry.
No, but they have like 20. Clearly. They have like 20 people. I think.
But that's okay. They're gonna. I would love to see Lexi work for them. Or you know, for example, like the Trenches is already not drawn by any of them.
Yeah.
They have Mary Cagle doing it.
Yeah.
Really?
Scott Kurtz's old intern. She took over this year.
No kidding.
Because Scott's doing Table Titans.
Yeah,
I need to go and look at that.
It's good. As a matter of fact, I think PvP is actually suffering a little bit. I hate to say it.
Really?
Yeah, I think Table Titans is what's getting him interested right now. It shows. It's excellent.
I quit reading PvP the second they made it where you couldn't read it on RSS feeds.
Oh. That's where I think
you're
gonna
see
going
to see
more of
that.
No.
Well, it's because AdSense is just not a thing anymore.
Oh, my God.
And FeedBurner is also going away. And I think that also
RSS
is
feed that has an ad in it.
They did, but FeedBurner, like you said, Google bought FeedBurner.
Yeah, Google bought FeedBurner, and then they're now closing FeedBurner down. So like there are places you can pay to create that type of RSS feed, but they don't want to pay for it. So
there's a thing that like $50. And
I don't know, man. I really don't have a problem with like clicking to the site if I know they're getting paid for it. That's my 2 cents. Probably literally 2 cents. Every day.
Yeah,
but,
mine is just
I mean, I agree with you. Like, I liked it better when I could just use one tool to like see everything and aggregate it all.
I just don't have time to hop over here.
Yeah,
right there, real quick.
Yeah, but I mean,
as long as I have the reminder and link, I'm pretty happy. Mm-hmm. I gotta be honest.
Yeah, I'm cool compromising that way. I'm not gonna. Mm-hmm. And I understand. You know, it's also hard to get metrics on who's reading your comic that way.
Yeah.
Versus who's reading your comic by going to the site. And whether the people that are reading an RSS are going to be are loyal, or they just they set up the computer to constantly pick up the comic and like are they reading it or not? You know, are they actually going to click through and buy your stuff?
We put a man on the moon. We can make the RSS.
Well, I think I agree. I mean, I think it's certainly
it's
true.
For some reason, right now, no one's doing it.
Well,
I know,
no, but here's the thing where the limitation is. It's all possible with a large enough team with certain people dedicated to maintaining these things. It's 100,000% possible, but if you just got one or two people trying to run a webcomic, it's hard to have them do everything else that they need to do for a webcomic and do that.
I can
because the complexity of it
personally.
Has increased. Like it's harder to do
than it was before because FeedBurner is going away and AdWords is not getting put in FeedBurner because it's all getting closed down by Google. Yeah. Like, that was really easy. Like, click three things and it goes. Now it's getting a little harder, so the effort has to increase, and they don't have the time for that, I think. So,
no, you're absolutely right. I actually asked Funimation's guy. I was like, okay, what is your educational background? Because I need to hire someone like you for me. It's gotten that bad. Like, I was like, the content takes so long to produce that I need a pimp, essentially. A digital pimp, if you will. I'm sorry. The technical term is social media director, but it's a digital pimp.
It's hard, especially when you have multiple properties and stuff, and doing it yourself,
gets hard fast.
Doing it yourself and getting the exposure you want, I think those two things together is a lot harder than it used to be.
If Google were to come out tomorrow with some great new
product, but they don't make any money off.
You rely on it?
They don't
Google
make any money
is
off
culling
Fever.
Products
I agree.
Right now, which
I'm
I don't understand.
This up. I'm saying if they come up with something new, would you actually rely on it?
It's they and
I'm not.
I agree. I totally agree. They came out with Google Keep. Have you heard about Google Keep? It's like their copy of Evernote. Uh-huh. Who the hell's going to use that?
I'm not.
After they decide, like, they announced the closure of Reader like 2 weeks before they announced that fucking Google Keep thing.
Yeah.
Who is going to use that?
Google Chromebook. Android. You know, I don't care how big it is and how popular it is. Hell yes, I'm tempted by those Android quasi-tablet phone things. Those are awesome looking.
The Galaxy Note stuff like that.
I don't have any faith that if Google doesn't have 10 trillion people using something, they wouldn't just shit can it and just say, fuck you. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. As far as Android's concerned, I don't think you should be that worried because Google's lost control of Android.
I said the same thing about Reader.
But Reader's maintained by Google.
Years ago.
Reader's maintained by Google.
Yeah.
Android's an open source operating system. Samsung's basically taken that now, and it's like a Samsung thing for Samsung phones.
It also has the trillions of users you were positing, too. So it's
yeah.
But, like, yes, Google has as their own app store and all that stuff, but Samsung now wants to have their own app store. Like, there are companies that are out that are not tied into Google's revenue stream that are very interested in keeping Android around for their own purposes, with their own skins, with their own things, like Samsung. That's that particular aspect of what Google puts out. I think you shouldn't be that worried. Some of this other stuff, though, you're certainly in a good place to worry.
Use another damn thing for those people. I understand.
No, I have the same repetition. Although I do love Drive.
Google Drive is nice.
Yeah.
Google Drive is nice.
See, I haven't even tried that.
Yeah. I have a Chromebook, so I get 100 gigabytes.
Everything in Docs does port over. So hopefully that'll help you a little bit.
So is it essentially kind of a mimicry of a Dropbox?
It is Dropbox with an extra layer of you get to use these Google apps.
So now you're actually like relying on that thing in terms of like file server kind of deal.
But it's also got a copy. It stores a copy of your...
Only a million people use it.
I hate to bring it back to Penny Arcade, but Jerry and the guys at Z-Boy Games use that thing exclusively to create the upcoming Rainslick Precipice of Darkness 4.
So, yeah, but imagine there's only 2 million people using it. Then Google shit cans it.
It's a concern.
But I mean, to be honest, there are competitive solutions, and those files are stored. You're not going to lose your data.
No, it's just the effort of migrating.
Yeah, you're going to have to microfit. Like Microsoft has a copy of Google Docs now. It's called like Office Live or something like that. It's the same thing,
but not as good and crashier.
It's Microsoft, but. You know, and there will be other things. I think that idea, the cool thing about Google Docs and that thing, I think the idea of that is so attractive that there probably always will be an alternative offering you that idea. But I agree with you. It's a pain in the ass to migrate.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to really worry about not ever having a system where you can work on Docs collaboratively with a Word tool and a presentation tool and a spreadsheet tool online somewhere. I think
they've had four iterations of that already, so I think.
I think the idea will stick around. Will Google carry forever? I can't say.
Yeah.
So if you've dumped Reader yet,
I have.
What have you found?
TheOldReader.com is what I use.
That's what I've heard as well. I haven't moved yet, but I guess
now that when I first moved after they announced the Google Reader thing, it was slow.
Uh huh.
It was kind of buggy. It would crash. It still crashes every now and then, but it's gotten much faster, much easier to use. It's only three people working on it, so. All the freaking love, and it was a side project. You don't work on it full time. All
to the Kickstarter.
All the love to those people.
I will pay the money.
All the love to those three folks. they made a fantastic thing just by themselves.
Oh, seriously, guys, and their, if you're their readership somehow, somewhere, America. Kickstarter, you have our money.
America, like,
they'll just ask for donations on the site.
This is me metaphorically. And like with I took, my chips I took to the my, side
pay
table.
Them with Bitcoin, but pay them with something.
I took my OPML file from Google Reader that stores all my feeds,
your
and
OPML
file. OPML file it stores all my feed URLs. I took it from Google Reader, and I imported it into Old Reader, and everything was there just like it was in Google Reader. So I didn't really have to do much other than figure out how to get a file out of Google and put a file into the Old Reader.
Now, God, your next rock band name is Opium Mayflower. Opium Mayflower.
Speaking of things that don't exist any longer.
Riyadh?
Well, he's only dead to us. But, rock Opie? Band.
Oh, rock band.
Done.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, harmonics.
I think we're just in right there.
That's like saying my 20s are done.
Harmonics will have something, I'm sure, for the next gen consoles, but no. It won't be Rock Band. It'll be something.
Let me slowly grow into my old man rage.
Here but we go.
If Rock Band,
this is his secret, Rod. He's always angry.
If Rock Band is dead, and let's say you get a new Xbox and you want to play the old Rock Band.
You're not
going
to be able to play it. I mean, that's the same
but
for any other game.
All the songs you bought.
They're dead. They're gone.
You can't get them.
Yeah.
So, you're releasing all of that shit.
Yes, just like all your comics on Comixology. By the way, PSA. And all your manga and J-manga, you're leasing that shit. You are not buying it.
Which is why I don't buy it.
Yeah.
I will continue to steal it, and I do steal it, until you fuckers like figure out a way to sell it to me.
So
then I will download it from torrents and I will buy the trades I want.
So all those songs. So what about on the old Xbox? As long as it's on your hard drive, that's it.
Yeah, but I mean, backwards compatibility is like a thing of the past.
I know that, but I mean, just like if you literally pulled out the old box,
maybe if they don't like disable access from that.
Oh, I'm just wondering if there's some kind of online check where it's gonna.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe I don't know. I don't work for Harmonix.
Oh, so are you positing a Rock Shack?
Rockbox.
I mean, even Rock Band.
We created Dropbox and put all the
even
files
like
over there.
Even rock for Rock Band 2, I think what right like your Rock Band 1 songs, you had to pay a fee to like import them into Rock
and
Band
I
2.
Did.
And like now, for Rock Band Blitz, I think there was also some sort of importing shenanigans.
Blitz.
Yeah, Rock Band. See, as you guys say, Rock Band's dead, but Rock Band Blitz came out late last year from Harmonix. It's not a rhythm game like Rock Band where you have instruments, but you have different tracks that you move from. And it's like this constantly scrolling thing in the song, and you're tapping
like,
buttons.
That wasn't a video game, right?
Yeah,
that
you can play it on PlayStation and Xbox and iOS.
I've
think
never
as well.
Heard of any of this.
Yeah.
I played it, but it was iOS.
Yeah, they had it in multiple things. That was the last Rock Band game that came out, and they also do Dance Central. And they do those things, so it's not like they disappeared. You know,
Dance Central's great.
So, but Kinect sucks. I don't know.
Kinect sucks. But hopefully the next one will be better.
Those
games are still popular. And they still have their
so they have a revenue stream. I'm sure there's going to be a more sophisticated Kinect for the new Xbox. There's a Kinect-like feature for PS4. It's already been shown. So, like, that stuff's probably where it's going to go, for better or worse. You know? I think that's what
you're
going to see.
Sometimes franchises need a break.
No, I'm just desperate.
See also Batman and Robin.
Damn it, they killed him. They killed him.
Alright, are we moving over that?
Are we gonna move from Rock Band?
You segued right to it, man. They killed
him. I was referring to the 97 film that we will never
speak about.
I
thought you were talking about the comic.
No, that's fair. Well, but we know who's coming in, though.
No, I have no idea.
Oh, more major spoilers. Carrie Kelly will be making her in a continuity appearance.
Oh, yeah. You should have seen Keyshawn's face. You should have seen Keyshawn's face just now.
But if you can get it, buy it. Massively underordered is the word on the, well, not the street, but
really?
The dork line street, I guess. But apparently they didn't print very many. And
interesting.
It's going to be Carrie Kelly's first appearance in the new two.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, man.
Very interesting. What?
So, yeah.
They can't get rid... You know, they're going to have Robin around.
Yeah.
It's like... I know Grant Morrison was saying in an interview that
he
wanted Batman
to go
back.
There are plenty of Robins.
Agreed.
Oh, my God. They got
agreed.
Me loving that little brat.
Yeah.
Damien, you mean?
Yes.
You know they're going to Lazarus pit his ass
they
and he's going to come back.
Lazarus pit his ass, man. I love that kid. He talked down to all of them. All of them.
He was pretty great.
I mean, it was Morrison's reversal, right? When Bruce Wayne died, it was like
Batman all of a sudden is the earnest one, and Robin is the shit talking goddamn Robin. He's the goddamn Robin, is basically what, yeah, what we're getting at.
Oh shit! Yes,
that's what happened. Like, he reversed the roles, and I guess he
played with that for a while.
Yeah, and then I guess he got bored. He's like, "Oh, you're dead now." And he was saying, you know, he was saying in an interview. I read this actually. Thank you, Comic Dorks. Speaking of them again, or was that? Yeah, we were recording.
No, absolutely.
They were mentioning that Morrison said in an interview that he wanted Batman to go back to basics and be by himself. And like 2 fucking days after I listened to that, they announced this new Robin. So,
yeah,
you know, it's like,
well, I believe, is Morrison leaving the title?
He is. He's leaving. He's
also on the Action Comics. So my question is, what is he working on right now?
Good question. His own creator-owned stuff, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
This is a subject of speculation. Avengers. Bendis is coming back to Avengers.
That's in good hands with Hickman.
But I think Hickman. I thought Hickman was leaving, and Bendis is coming back. I heard
that was posted on April 1st.
God damn it! I got screwed.
That was posted on April 1st. As was that. There was something Star Wars related on April 1st that I think got a lot of people. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, I'm loving
the Dark Horse thing. I thought.
It was something about the
Dark Horse thing is
no,
real.
No, there was someone like there was like a leak for like the name.
Oh,
for episode 7, that was total crap.
Yeah,
was like I can't remember what it was now.
There's
it
a Dark Horse.
It was dumb as hell though, but just dumb enough to be like, oh god, no.
there's a Dark Horse title. Wow, is that Double Stuff Oreo that we just busted out of there?
Oh, shit just got real on this podcast.
Damn, uh-oh.
Sponsored by Nabisco.
Ding! Anyway, Dark Horse is coming out with a series of comics based on George Lucas's original, idea.
The Star Wars.
The Star Wars. Really? The Star Wars with Star Killer. Like, yeah.
Has anybody
Luke
ever
Star
read
Killer.
All, though?
I read bits of it.
So, this is...
All of it.
This is Dark Horse's play, right? Because Disney's going to take all their fucking Star Wars shit away from them pretty soon because they own Marvel, and they're going to do Star Wars comics and Marvel.
Listen.
So they got to do something, and they're going to do this.
Give me a second. I'm going to make the case for Key here to bring you in on this. I have 2 words for you. Battlestar Galactica.
Ah.
How awesome was that reimagining?
True.
In the right hands, it could be good.
It could be good.
Are we talking...
If it's bad, well, we have episode 1. That's all.
Yeah, but I thought it was going to be a reimagining of that thing. I thought it was going to
I'm willing to bet that George Lucas's original idea is so threadbare and just kind of.
Oh, have you not read any? Some of the stuff is late. It's originally Anakin Starkiller and Luke. And Luke is not related to him. And there's a crystal.
Take it and run with it, man. Fill in. And, take what you want of that and run with it, Dark Horse, if you can.
Yeah.
Don't let Lucas into the offices. Pay his ass for the ideas and just fucking go.
That's gonna be an interesting run.
I'm excited.
I'll read the first issue at least.
Well, actually, I'm not excited, but in the right hands, I would totally be honest.
Yeah, I'm not super excited yet to, I'm not going to be breaking down the doors of the comic shop to get it, but I'll be interested in it. I'm interested in it, rather. I'll get the first issue, take a look, probably. Who knows? It's probably a ways off, though, I think. Anyway.
I'm reading So, wait a minute. They just started a new Star Wars comic.
By Brian Wood, yes.
Yeah, that apparently completely just wipes out, you know, the last 20 years worth of extra shit. And just starts off like, all right, this is right after the Battle of Yavin. Just starts right there.
Interesting.
So what, The New Empire Strikes Back?
No, it's in between. But basically, you know,
the Marvel comics were back in the day.
Well, the expanded universe, freaking every day. I mean, that wasn't on film has been filled in with by some author or some comic at some point. Some the same day. Overlap.
I was about to say, but multiple iterations.
Oh
yeah.
God! They did a really good job of organizing. I think other than Dark Empire, it wasn't too much overlap, but. This basically was just like, fuck it, start over. All right, day after the Battle of Yavin. So you can imagine they'll tie it in at some point down the line. It's really good so far, but it is kind of like the old school Marvel comics. But I was under the impression that was the shift over to the new regime.
I really think Dark Horse is worried that Disney's just going to snatch that license away from them. For the original, Disney for the Star Wars
is
stuff.
Currently shutting down all current operations.
LucasArts just died this week or last, so no more. Yeah. Whoa, now we got golden Oreos. Right.
My goodness.
This is a whole Oreo Star commercial in here.
We have the dark side
and the light side, I see.
There's two sides to every Oreo.
Pardon my crinkling.
That just makes people hungry.
Deliciousness.
People are hungry, you know, listening to this podcast now.
Okay, so I'm gonna do a callback here as we leave Star Wars at least momentarily. In our 2013 preview edition of Flow of Sonic Fury podcast, you mentioned you were very excited for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh yeah,
we're now 2 issues in.
I have not read issue 2, unfortunately. No. I am sad.
What? So we're 3 issues in.
What?
Because there's 0.1, which is by the way dumb as hell. Hate that numbering system.
maybe issue 2 comes out this week coming up.
Perhaps.
I was about to say,
I read 2 today. I read 0.1, which again, hate that numbering
number
system. Stop at Marvel immediately. And number 1.
Yeah, I read both of those.
Yeah.
I'm loving it so far. I think the Star-Lord recap and like re-explanation of everything sets things up in a really interesting way. If issue 1 was okay, he's a little...
Yeah.
Peter Quill's a little more Han Solo than I really wanted. I like the old Peter Quill from the previous Annihilation stuff, where he was a little more honest with the fact that he's out of his element and doesn't know how everything's going to go, but he kind of makes it happen anyway. I really wish they would and I'm sure they probably will later, but I really want to know how he escaped the Cancer Universe, where he was locked in with Thanos and Nova at the end of the Thanos Imperative.
Okay.
He's supposed to have fucking died. What happened? You know, I guess given the face that Keyshawn's making at me right now, he didn't know any of this shit.
I'm going to pause it. I know what you're going to ask. There was a Cancer Universe? Tony joking about that in the
book?
I thought that was an in-joke I didn't get.
Let's rewind, because I have focused on the Marvel U proper on Earth and then trying to delve, holding in abeyance by diving into the universe side of the storyline, knowing that there's an Annihilation, there was like a trillion different big threats.
Lots of things that end with
awesome.
The word kings.
Yeah, exactly. And I couldn't wade my way through what the order was or what I needed to be reading it, which one was before which. And so...
Wikipedia.
Will Wikipedia have a list that's just...
Wikipedia has everything. I looked up the East Coast, West Coast rap war 7 years ago, and it explained it in exquisite detail.
You
yes.
too.
I was explaining this to my wife a couple weeks ago. How the hell did we both...
Do you have, like,
She had a big read-up on Biggie Smalls on Wikipedia.
Do you have the most bewildered wife ever? Are you busting these things out? And she's just like, why are you telling me these things?
I was listening to the history of rap and Biggie Smalls.
I have a one-word answer for that question. Yes. She's a good woman.
Yeah, so, quick recap, if you want to know the order, Annihilation, Conquest, then War of Kings, and there's like a thing called Realm of Kings, but that's really like, that's really more like the Heroic Age kind of label they put on a bunch of comics after in between Annihilation, Conquest, and War of Kings. Then after War of Kings, it was Thanos Imperative, and like, basically, throughout all those things, Thanos is kind of a thread that's run through all of these events.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately, Thanos tries to, you know, basically control death because it's what he wants to do. And, like, at the end, there's just a showdown between him, Nova, and Star-Lord. And they trap Thanos in this other universe called the Cancerverse. And that was how to end it. And there's a giant statue of Star-Lord in fucking Kala or whatever, Kree homeworld. And that was how it kind of wrapped up. And they had a bunch of like Groot and Rocket Raccoon side issues going on afterward. But
we have Cancerverse and we have Hala as the Kree homeworld.
Well, it's not the Druid. Also, in the Avengers cartoon, they pronounced it Hala instead of Hala, which I thought was interesting.
I prefer yours better.
Cancerverse. Does everybody have cancer?
Death doesn't exist, so everything grows like cancer. That was the whole thing. There's
so
nobody
weird.
Dies. So, you know who's the leader of the Cancerverse?
It's called the Great Havens.
Captain Marvel.
not the Cancer Havens.
I'm just picturing all these mutated people.
They are. A lot of them are. And the guy
just keep growing.
And you know, and what diverged and started that whole thing was Captain Marvel, the original Captain Marvel didn't die.
So he became like the leader of this Cancerverse, where they're trying to eliminate death everywhere. And they, because of the, what happens in War of Kings, there's a tear that occurs that brings them into our universe. And that's where all this stuff starts. But going into a universe where death doesn't exist, that's the kind of like that drives Thanos to kind of, you know, do his death thing. And that's where it makes him rise as a villain. See, there's a, there, everything makes sense.
Okay,
he did such a freaking good-ass job of tying all these links together of, like, dozens of characters.
You piqued my interest with that last bit about the whole Thanos being intrigued by the idea of a deathless universe. That's kind
of cool. All of that is, and it's so well done. It's kind of amazing. And they're doing all these events, and, like, so you, they're not as popular, but it's so cool.
I'm just picturing, like, cut somebody's head off.
They don't die.
Right, but they're headless.
they put it back on.
Well, they put it back on, or does the head just sit there?
No, no, they put it, they don't, heads? They, yeah, they, listen, they reconstitute.
Gumby, all right, that's where you need to go in your headspace.
They, like, grow cancer and pick it up and then back like
grow
that.
Cancer.
Like a cancer tentacle.
I got a cancer up? No!
Cancer tentacle,
that's
I don't know.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard. Oh, man. That's
but
like
they don't
Ware
die.
Bad.
No, no, Dandy Bear? Did you say Dandy?
Dandy Ware.
Oh, Dandy Ware.
Now the world record holder for the worst sports moments captured on television ever. We'll come back to that. So I had a similar thought. 0.1 loved it. Really intrigued by it. One was like, okay, this is cool as a setup, but it didn't feel like much happened.
Yeah.
Did you read any of the Infinite comics?
I did not.
Okay, there was one really good one. It was Brass.
Oh, really?
Sitting in a bar. It's just like this real people come up and are just going to challenge him because they know who he is. So good. He desperately does not want to destroy them. He's actively trying not to destroy them. And he has to destroy them.
Listen, it's just my name.
Literally, it's just
That's funny.
It's like, it's just like a rock star that doesn't...
And you know the deal with Drax, right? Like he's only built... He's built for one purpose, to kill Thanos.
Right.
So all of this Thanos stuff just... So anyway, let's talk Guardians of the Galaxy movie casting. Because they've cast Star-Lord, they've cast Gamora.
Bring it on out.
They've
now,
cast,
now that I know these characters,
they've cast Drax. The only people they
which
haven't...
Which raccoon did they pick?
They have not picked Rocket Raccoon, the voice for Rocket Raccoon. And they haven't picked whoever's going to do the few sounds that Groot makes.
If I could do a Bullwinkle impersonation, it'd be perfect. But I can't, so I won't. But I would've.
Okay. Noted.
I felt like a poem.
So Star-Lord... is the dude from Parks and Recreation? What's his name? Have you watched Parks and Recreation at all?
Very little.
He's the big lumbering guy. I'll look him up.
You've got to use that as the title of the podcast. I can't, so I won't, but I would have.
I kind of wanted to do a Cancerverse.
Cancerverse : I can't, so I won't, but I could have.
So it was written, so shall it be so.
Andy is the name of the character, I'm pretty sure. I'm looking up the actor now.
Yeah.
And I'll show you a picture.
I'm also
of him
really
too.
Enjoying the art.
Steve McNiven, man.
But I like it's a different inker than he normally uses. It's usually Dexter Vines, who I like Vines, but I don't like him with McNiven. It's too hard. It's too, too thick, I want to say, but
this
John Dell is much finer.
Yeah, it's a little
and
more intricate. I like that because it's supposed to be high-tech, spacey.
It's very Gary Frank looking. I'm really digging it.
So Chris Pratt is the guy I was talking about. This is him. He was in Zero Dark Thirty. He played a Marine in Zero Dark Thirty, Navy SEAL, rather.
He's older than me, I prove.
He is Star-Lord. He is Star-Lord. This guy, David Bautista, who's like a MMA guy, he is Drax the Destroyer.
Bautista?
Yeah. And then Gamora, the rumor, she hasn't officially signed yet, but she's in talks already. Zoe Saldana will be Gamora.
Oh, hot champ.
So she will be, in some pretty big franchise because she's already in Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And she was, I think it was Bleeding Cool, they said this will be her third skin color. Because she used her normal skin color in Star Trek.
Oh, you know what?
She was she was blue skinned in Avatar, and now she'll be green skinned.
You said Saldana, and for some reason my brain wanted to hear Zoe Bell.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Zoe Saldana.
Okay, so Uhura.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all right. No, I'm less excited about that, but that's okay. Yeah. That's a good pick.
So they're interesting choices. I think Chris Pratt, especially since he does more comedy than action, we already knew it was going to have some sort of comedy kind of vibe to it, because James Gunn kind of said, the director, he's kind of said that was going to be the case. But with Chris Pratt as a lead, it'll be interesting to see. Now I'm wondering how serious it's going to be.
Yeah.
Because in the comic, anyway, from issue point one, which I agree, also hate, and issue one in terms of the numbering,
yeah.
It's not that funny. It's not a funny thing. Like, there's adventure, there's high adventure, there's some comedic moments, but the dude is like being set up like Han Solo, not with an annoying dad. Not.
Do you like that or dislike it?
I don't know. I like the whole origin thing was so good.
Oh yeah.
I need to see more of where this is going to go.
Yeah.
And having Tony there is not what I'm used to, getting rid of all the other cosmic stuff in the past.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Tony Stark. He's in Guardians of the Galaxy.
But we're on first playing aces with him now.
He's my friend Tony. He's a fellow MIT alumni.
Tony's sitting across from me while I talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. But I got to tell you, from not knowing any of the background of it, so I'm just coming at it like...
Yeah.
You know, just blank slate. I'm loving the whole thing.
Me too. I jumped
it's
right
so
in.
It's so much fun. And like all the characters I'm sure they're going to throw from the cosmic world in there is going to be a hell of a lot of fun.
The only ones I know are Gamora and Drax, and that's only from the...
See, she's new to me.
The Infinity Gauntlet,
Oh, yeah, because they're all those people are the same cast of characters.
But Drax is entirely different. Somehow Drax went from stupid lummox to, like, badass.
Read Annihilation.
God dang it. Okay. So there's actually a...
Yes, there's a full explanation for that in Annihilation.
Podcast.
Oh, God, you're gonna find it. That's the trick.
Okay, also from Bendis.
All new.
Key and I talked about this a little bit off the air. Yeah, all new and uncanny. I am really loving both. And in retrospect, I'm trying to figure out why I was so dumb to not realize these were going to be great. He is the perfect writer for this franchise. Like, the soap opera element that's so key. Probably the biggest part of X-Men is back, and it's back in a big way. And I'm loving every minute of it. Also, Immonen and David Marquez are killing it. I like Bocciolo. I know it's quirky. I wish he wasn't coloring his own shit, because I hate his coloring. But I do like the art.
Oh.
Well, I like the redesigns, too. Like, Magneto in white.
Oh.
That's
interesting.
I like that.
I like Cyclops' design, too.
Yes.
It's kind of weird a little bit, but it's cool.
I like the omnipresent lens flare.
Oh, yeah. It constantly always has
a
little glow.
Yeah, it's like almost like any second I could go off and blow the hell out of everybody.
Because that's part of the story, was like, I don't fucking know my powers work anymore.
Yeah.
Heads up.
Yeah, I like that part, too.
Yeah.
But I guess all I always get wrapped up in the plot, but there was X-Men Consequences, which came out right after Avengers. And there, it seemed like Cyclops was, I did it, I should be punished, but as long as everything came out okay, I'll take it.
And
apparently, Scott changed his mind. He's like, I didn't do it! You know, I was driven by the Phoenix.
Yeah,
you know, that kind
I've
of
noticed
thing.
It, and I love it. I like where they're taking, Cyclops. It's almost like he's in denial.
Yeah.
And that's going to come back, and I'm sure it's going to be a huge payoff.
And what I hope that they do is they flash back to, like, in between Consequences and when All New and Uncanny started, and they show, I hope they show at least a little bit of why he changed his mind. Just a little, if they can thread that into the narrative and the mystery behind it all, that would be super cool.
He knows that when he killed Xavier, there was a little rip in reality, and Xavier got sent to the cancer.
Look,
all
right,
that's a joke,
cancer,
but I
want to
ask a very serious question. Do you guys say it Charles Xavier or Charles Xavier?
Xavier.
I've always said it Xavier. But I mean,
likewise.
I've known people whose first name is X-A-V-I-E-R, and they pronounce it Xavier.
I'm hearing Xavier
now,
a lot.
Now.
I don't like it, and I've never heard it before.
I'm pretty...
So
I'm
declaring it wrong.
being a Spanish speaker, the way you say it in Spanish, it's often spelled with a J when people write it nowadays. It's Javier. So that's how you would pronounce it if it's a span, like Don Quixote, where you have an X, but it's pronounced like an H or a J.
What if you fought Kung Fu in Spanish?
It's still Kung Fu. But it's a Chinese name. It's Chinese. Anyway. But X-A-V-I-E-R. X-A-V-I-E-R would be pronounced Javier. So
okay. So when you're watching
you could say Charles Javier.
But So when you're X watching, is sign. Well, hang on.
So
I,
when you're
I
watching
now.
Buffy,
so X is a like vestigial letter in Spanish. So it's pronounced the way in English you would pronounce an H.
Okay.
But in Spanish nowadays, it's how you would pronounce a J. But I don't want to cross too many languages barriers here. But
got it.
So Buffy, Willow, and what? You ever guys watch Buffy?
Xander.
It's Xander.
It's Xander.
Actually, no. It's short for Alexander.
Well, I know, but that's just
so that's like also Xander. Like a weird, like thing. Yeah, like, it's like
unless
a
you're Russian, then it becomes Sandy, which is really weird. Or Sasha.
There you go.
I don't know why that relates to anything.
And again,
and dead air.
It's Xavier.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is the.
Whatever.
Marvel trots out the whole World Without Professor X thing every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
This is, I think, I would say probably the second best I've ever seen it executed. Number one being Age of Apocalypse, because that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But, yeah, we've been to this rodeo before, but I think they're actually doing a good job.
They're not also like
Charles always ends up in good things.
But they're also like
I would disagree and up until now. For the most part, it doesn't, meh.
Okay, you go back far enough, they killed Charles off way early on in the X-Men.
Oh, yeah.
And,
again, every 3 or 4
but
years.
There was something, and something good came out of that. I want to see. Okay, y'all won't agree with me. I think this Cable came out of that.
Nothing good came out of that.
Damn the hell, I love that. Didn't it kill off Charles?
I don't understand your love
with
Cable. You named your
Onslaught
son after him.
Yes!
Did you really name your son after Cable? Is that really
my like, wife wouldn't.
That's my retcon.
Yes, Nathan Tyler.
Oh wow, and the kid. I didn't even pick that together.
And
all the summer boys in there. The boys of summers.
My wife would swear up and down that my daughter is named after Carla O'Hara, and I would say no, named after the star of the silent. G.I. Joe number 20. Scarlet from G.I. Joe. Okay.
This is my son, Snake Eyes.
This is an old dangerous bit, isn't it?
Anyway.
Where he's positing his daughter being Jim, and she's truly outrageous.
Oh, God.
So, I think this time with Charles dead again, they didn't really, like, dwell on it very much.
That's true.
So
the statue's already.
It doesn't. Yes, because we're retreading
right.
old ground. They just brought it out of storage, right, and like dusted
that's
off.
It retracts
into the ground when he's alive, and then they bring it back up. It's like on some sort of danger.
I like the idea of just leaving it. There. Yeah, just, you know,
he can just go visit
he
just
it. Looks at it every day
and just like salute it, like army salute it, or like thumbs up it. You know,
dude, he's wheeling by it. Yeah, that's awesome.
But, like, since they dwelled less on that, and there were so many other things, so many other consequences out of AVX,
mm-hmm.
I think things have just gotten cool. Like, they're not sticking around. They're not treading water.
For the
just
purposes of transparency, I'm going to just come out and say, I just assumed I missed that comic.
Which one?
The one where they addressed all that shit.
I mean, I assume they had,
AVX
morning.
Consequences thing,
yeah,
where they, yeah, but they, like, compartmentalized that, and, like, from All New X-Men number 1 and Uncanny X-Men number 1,
yeah.
There's not a lot of, oh, Charles, you know, oh my God, where's the picture? Let me carry it with me
right.
forever. It was just like, dude, whole thing's.
They do reference it quite a bit.
They do every now and then. It's there, but I don't think it takes a backseat.
There's a whole speech in the latest issues from both All New and Uncanny where they have the unofficial crossover.
And then, Secret Avengers, that is the one where the Illuminati.
That's
right.
New Avengers.
That New Avengers?
I think it's new.
Okay, yeah. So New Avengers,
they
addressed it right at the front
yeah.
end just because they needed
yeah.
somebody
but
to get over the mic.
I guess
it's Hank, right?
Yeah.
I guess it just sort of takes a backseat to the overall plot, whatever they're trying to accomplish, and they'll invoke him when they need
yeah.
to. And I think that's good because you just, whatever, man. He's dead.
I'm
Move
just
on.
Loving the characterization top to
yeah.
bottom. Mystique, I love the way he's writing her.
Yeah.
I love seeing Lady Mastermind again.
Uh-huh.
I was like,
wait a minute.
In all new.
Lady Mastermind's. Active? I thought that they
just Mystique broke up her new brotherhood.
I know that, but I didn't.
The brotherhood of money loving mutants.
Right.
Got to get paid.
She the blonde in the outfit. Okay, I shorted out. I thought that was Emma.
That There are, well, it could also be Emma or Magic. Yeah, a lot of blondes running around in black.
No kidding.
Bocciolo, more colors, please.
Marvel, somebody other than Bocciolo.
It's quirky. I could see why it wouldn't be up your alley. Oh,
I think it fits, though. Uncanny is quirky as all get out in a way. It is. It fits.
I just don't like his color palette. It's very limited and very weird.
It feels like reading a Picasso and trying to get X-Men out of it.
And I think that's fair.
Hey, at least they don't have the nose. Trench's noses.
Oh, Jesus. That's the only thing. Have
Magneto take his helmet off and you see his Trench's nose.
I like that Magneto shaved his head in solidarity for you. Maybe that's the statue. I have to get rid of my hair.
Yeah, okay. That's it. You see it in every panel. Oh, I miss him. Oh, shave. His hair's trying to grow back. He's having to shave it every day. He weeps as he's shaving his head every morning. For Charles. Man. Okay, guys. And I'm not getting off X-Men. I'm just slipping into the other
room. We're doing what we do.
Legacy. X-Men Legacy. Are any of you reading that?
I'm not
reading. No one I'm suspecting. I probably should be.
Oh, boy, is it good.
Is that still the Rogue Gambit party?
No. Sizemore is writing Legion.
No, it's Legion. It's a Legion comic, and it is spectacular.
All right. I have one question I need to know before I can be in on this all the way. Does he still have the Kid in Play flat top?
Yes, but they even address all right, that.
All right, I 100% committed to this.
The art, the covers are just like, you remember Nick Fury, the old school Shield where they had the
Mistarenko?
They're like that.
Interesting.
The covers are.
Interesting.
The art on the inside, first, this is the best Legion I've ever read. I've never understood.
Spurrier is a talented writer. I'm not surprised it's good.
The level of Vicodin that was on the guy that invented Legion, it just must have been incredible. But by God, that story, they're taking characters that I have never given a shit about and making them good. And that's always wonderful.
Yeah. Who's drawing it? You know?
Nope. Don't know. And it's... The art's okay. I mean,
that's fine. Okay, epic. It's okay.
But it's passable. Yeah. The art really hadn't been what's left out at me. The story, though, is just top notch. I mean, the characterization is unique. Yeah. It's not something that you're getting in any other comic. And even how he's trying to deal with his own issues is just a great setup. It, essentially, before Charles died, it's the first comic that starts off with. Before Charles died, he was helping Legion basically set up a super prison in his brain for all the various psychoses that he has, and he's the warden of it, and then just go from there, and it's just great. It's you really ought to be reading it.
Yeah, this feels like the best the X-Men have been since Joss and Cassidy were working on Astonishing definitely. Back in the day, 6-7 years ago.
Honestly, it's almost like the talent... Well, I don't want to say that because I don't want to disservice the other comics, but like the attention and the quality beam has like moved slightly from Avengers over to X-Men, I think, and a little bit. I love Hickman, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's like the quality beam is just kind of slightly moved over to X-Men.
Well, yeah, you've got...
It almost feels like they realized they were neglecting it.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was a conscious thing. Like we got to fix our premier franchise.
Well, I got to tell you right now, I'm enjoying Iron Man more in the Guardians of the Galaxy and Avengers than I am in Iron Man.
Well, Fraction's gone, and that's a shame.
I stopped reading it after Fraction left, pretty much.
Yeah. I just kept trying to read it. But
yeah, and Kieran Gillen's a good writer, but that feels like a miscast.
Yeah, some of it's good. There's good moments, but it's just...
I still need to give Thor, Jason Aaron's Thor, because I've heard that's amazing, too.
Indestructible. Oh, yes. Yes.
You were going to say Thor? Hulk.
Well, I was going to say Hulk, but then I caught up. My mouth is going ahead of where my brain's listening to you, and you said Thor.
No, you was fair. I've heard both those titles are
excellent. I'm not reading that either.
You're not reading either? Oh, well, again, I don't know how good it's going to keep on being, but I can tell you that the Thor God of Thunder, where they're the God Slayer, boy, that's good stuff. You get three Thors for the price of one, man, because It's set in the ancient past with Thor back then. It's set in the present with Thor now. And it's set in the future with old Thor.
Jesus.
Oh, boy. And it's all happened at the same time.
That's cool.
And it's tied back and forth all this. I'm waving my arms like a madman. But that and the art is spectacular.
Yeah.
It's got a very mythic feel to it.
I forget who it is, but it's someone brilliant.
Yeah. It
looks is it Rasad? Assad? Rebecca? Well, I don't know. Yeah, fuck it. I don't know.
And then Indestructible Hulk. So far, that art is perfect. I mean,
is that Lynell Yu?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Well,
and,
there you go.
Yeah, that's so, a good fit. Just,
he's got, yeah, it, and him, like, dude needs an inker to get for some serious stuff. So I assume he's got a good one on that
one.
Because like Secret Invasion was just a level above a lot of the Lynell Yu stuff that I used to see.
Yeah. Lynell's fast too.
He's fast,
but
yeah.
He's not built for straight to color pencils. Mm-hmm. He
needs an inker, man.
He uses wax a lot, so yeah. That's just a mistake. And I'm glad they stopped doing that.
Issue number two, where they've got Stark and Banner interacting. Just the best interaction. A little bit different, but best interaction. You can tell that Marvel's trying to riff off of the movie. That they established there.
Uh-huh. Kelly Sue DeConnick described that on an interview as she referred to it. There was a meme that was going around after the film as Stark and Banner science bros.
Yes,
science bros.
Yes,
and I guess they're riffing on that.
Yes, they're totally riffing on that. And that was that alone is great. But I mean, it's just like Shield has realized that, you know, hey, we can't control the Hulk, but let's just aim it. Go!
I believe Wade described that as his pitch for the series.
That was like, dude, that was like the line that they said at the end of the last Hulk movie before they dropped him out of the helicopter.
And it was a good,
and it was a good idea.
Yeah. It was the best part of the movie. All right, we're going to have to fight him at the end of it. Awesome. But first, let's have him kick that bad guy's ass,
yeah.
And whatever,
and then we'll just
block that's on.
Yeah,
you know?
And we'll just try to, you know, deal with the rest of it later.
Yes,
just go.
That's totally what they're doing.
It's like dropping a nuke. Just,
oh,
just go, man.
Oh, it's so great. You know, just, yeah, we're probably what, a month away from Indestructible Hulk being sent to North Korea. I mean, that comic is coming. That comic is coming. Just let him go.
The least I can do online is actually playing with that right now. Rain's company has been contracted.
Yes.
By Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, the least I can do is just, yeah, I've been pretty entertaining with the North Korea stuff lately.
So Journey into Mystery has also been awesome. And it was, so
I heard about the whole Kid Loki stuff.
Kid Loki was great.
Yeah.
Kid Loki, I didn't like it at first, but I just kept on sticking with it. And after like three comics, I was like, this is spectacular what they're doing with this. And boy, they brought that around full circle.
That's what I've heard about, that end of that kind of arc.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And so that's still going strong. But then they flipped and they moved over to Sif, the female badass.
Yeah. I think the comics writing that as well.
Actually. Oh, basically, she just goes to some immortal somebody and wants to become a true, like, maniac barbarian.
It's, okay.
And so they bestow on her maniac barbarian. She just goes ape shit. And then proceed. It's just, and that, I didn't think I'd like that, because I've never given two shits about Sif. If it's not Thor, or, you know.
Yeah.
But they made
that's a rich pantheon of characters. I'm glad Marvel's exploring it.
Oh, yes, exactly. It's like, okay, you know, you're getting more of her and her brother, the guy that can see everything, you know, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh,
they're related.
Man.
I had no idea.
What now?
They're related.
I never knew until this comic. Again, it just passed me by.
So the fact that he's black in the film is now doubly weird.
whatever, man. You know, like,
and so yeah, that one's great. And the Kid Loki. They've now transported him over to the Young Avengers.
Yes,
I
heard that.
If you're not reading that, that's a fun one. That's a really
fun
one. There's some really good ones that I would never guess I would be enjoying.
It seems like Marvel's...
I like the old Young Avengers.
Yeah, Marvel's side content is stronger than DC's.
This
is the unfortunate part of the podcast.
Sorry,
we
gotta
have,
take
we
it.
Have to
there
address.
Is an awesome DC.
Gotta go in this direction.
There
DC.
Is an awesome DC comic out right now.
Batman.
Nope.
Yes, and
that wasn't the one I was talking about.
Scott Snyder's Batman with Rick Capullo.
Injustice Gods Among Us.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Are you reading it?
I've read what happens with Superman and Lois Lane. Fuck that.
It's awesome.
It sounds ridiculous.
The art's good. The story's good.
I listened to an interview with the writer a little while ago. Yeah.
Oh, man. Doesn't he punch
the pregnant Lois Lane and, like, kills his unborn son or some shit? What the fuck?
So basically the Joker just got bored with fucking with Batman and losing. And so he's like, I wanted to win once.
So I'm going to go to Superman.
All he did was got the Scarecrow gas, laced it with kryptonite, filled a sub, did an operation on Lois where he put a nuke in her.
Yeah.
Actually, a trigger to a nuke in her and put the nuke in Metropolis. And then just sent it off to parts unknown. And so then, of course, Supes finds out that that Lois has been kidnapped,
yes.
Scours the globe, finds this lead-lined submarine, busts in there, which is totally Superman. Batman would be the one that's smart enough to know it's a trap. Superman goes busting in there, inhales all this stuff, and what he sees is Doomsday.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's going to fuck Doomsday shit,
yeah.
Grabs him, flies him into space, punches a hole right through him, you know?
Except
Batman's
it's his
like,
wife.
Don't do it!
That is some dark ass shit.
That's what I'm saying. It's way too dark for me.
Oh, man. Look, there's nothing else good going on in DC. The only thing they have
that's like Nemesis level dark shit that I have a hard time.
But the thing is, that's like in the first couple comics. That ain't the main story.
Well, it's
that's
the game. It's leading
setup.
Up to the game, right? That's
well,
what it's all
well,
about.
The whole but it's the downfall of Superman because essentially at that moment,
let's address
no more crime. None.
I can't have my baby
are you
and my wife.
With me or against me? I mean, and some shit. It's like one of them. Arthur Curry, Aquaman. Sorry, I could never speak the name aloud. Aquaman is seeing what Superman's doing, kind of a totalitarian regime, and he's like, I'm not going to have this. You guys live on my planet. You know, you're not going to be. And so he starts invading, and big war, and Superman's like, hell with this. He goes down to Atlantis, carves it out, lifts it, and takes it to the Sahara Desert, and sits in the middle of the Sahara. And it's just like, withdraw all of your troops. And. Okay, never seen him do that before. And it's like, if really a Superman went bad, and it's which ones are siding with him and which ones are siding against him.
I kind of,
interesting.
That reminds me of Irredeemable, which is also a what would happen if Superman went bad, written by Mark Waid.
Lamarck
fantastic. Mentioned. Irredeemable is fantastic.
And
doesn't
you're right.
have some of those, like, real dark moments. There's dark moments, but, like... Not Superman punching Lois Lane a hole through Lois Lane's pregnant body. That's kind of fucked up.
Oh, man. But the fun of it is more, you know, obviously the Superman, Batman's doing what you would expect him to do, just like he does in every comic when Superman goes dark. You know, Batman's leading.
Like in Red Sun, right? Yeah.
Leading the revolution.
Yeah.
But it's all the other characters and what they're doing. That's the part I like. That's, I mean,
that's cool.
They've got Batman and Superman doing exactly what you expect. But then it's all the other guys and what they're doing that is really fun in that and the art's good. So
yeah.
I would not ever expect something that was teed up for a video game to be good. It's the only thing that I'm really souped up about right now is that coming out of DC.
Yeah, they seem to be struggling in New 52 Year 2 here. I'm sure Wonder Woman's still good because it's as...
Batman, dude.
I'm looking forward to Zero Year for the third major Batman arc.
What?
They're doing the origin story for the New 52. They're calling it Zero Year.
So this is a funny, an interesting thing because when the New 52 started, Batman did not reboot. Like
all of his continuity
was still there, and all through the Court of Owls stuff, pretty much.
Compressed.
They like all of that stuff still happened to Batman. He still had Damian. Like, all the death stuff, all that still happened while everybody else kind of didn't have
that.
Yeah,
but I thought they condensed it all where, like, it all happened in 7 years or something like that.
Okay, fine, but it still happened, which is different.
Yeah.
But, like, I guess now they're going back and actually going to tell the origin story.
From Snyder's mouth, actually, is to reconcile it with the other stuff that doesn't quite match up. So
yeah,
because
there's a lot of
try and get it.
Weird, things just don't line up too well, given the rest of the
And
rest
so they want to address that.
Yeah. But I have faith in those guys, man.
Oh, yeah.
They've pumped out whatever it is now, 15, 17 those
guys?
Issues.
Which guys?
Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo.
Okay, let's say they're not killing DC.
On it. Don't no. Whoa.
This is confusing and we need to make it clear.
Full stop. No. Just Greg Capullo and Scott Snyder. Like, that's so amazing.
There's
stuff.
A new Green Lantern. Do I hear this as well? Have you guys heard this shit?
New Green Lantern?
Yeah. They wanted to kill the black guy and they said they weren't going
to do Stewart?
That. John Stewart? Yeah. Apparently he got saved because people got pissed about that. But Hal's not the guy anymore. So now there's like seven Earthbound
God
Green Lanterns. Or
what? Why do they keep getting? Why do they?
Well, there's Gardner.
There's an Arab Green Lantern now.
Okay. Right. So what? Okay. Great.
I liked the origin. They haven't really done with him much with him.
Well, what happened to Hal?
Him and Sinestro got sucked into the Death Realm.
Cancerverse.
I think you went to Cancerverse.
We're all on the same page here.
Yeah.
We're all.
This will be DC versus Marvel too.
Thanos
Battle
is there.
Of the Cancerverse.
They're all just gonna have like this barbecue over there, and it's like infinite meat, right? Because none of it dies.
What do you eat? What do you eat in the Cancerverse?
Nothing. You're not gonna die. So
raw live animals.
It's cancer. Everything's cancer. Cancer with a side of cancer.
Did they address
cancer with mashed potatoes?
The potatoes still live.
Cancer taters.
Hot dogs.
Did they say
bratwurst, brought
anybody
cancer.
At any one moment with one frame or one utterance talk about what would be eaten in the game?
No. Well, clearly they have put less thought than we have in the last minute into this thought. How do you go to the bathroom?
Yeah, this is not that level of Keyshawn.
I shit a live rat today. I hate the Cancerverse.
Isn't that like what your dad does, Keyshawn? He like sends you like messages about like, right. What the fuck? Why are they showing him going to the bathroom? This movie's terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
No one took a shit in this film. It's garbage.
Yeah, but that's usually stupid. But after
fucking Schindler's
you
List.
In the Cancerverse. That seems to be, I like that discussion.
What he said? Cancer with a side of cancer. Salted cancer. Caramel cancer.
A world without death is rife with problems, isn't it? Yeah. No getting around it.
Everybody's starving.
But they don't die. They just always hungry.
Oh, I wish something would die so we could eat it. You think that would turn into the zombie universe?
That's sort of kind of where they're getting at. Because the Captain Marvel thing. But read it. It's awesome. It's totally worth your time, I promise.
Oh, man.
All of it is awesome. Because Guardians of the Galaxy all up in that business. Adam Warlock is all up in this business all over the place. It's
really?
A lot of... Yeah, all of that. Like, they suck in some of the original Guardians of the Galaxy into it as well.
Wait,
Major Victory.
Major Victory's in it?
Boom!
Okay.
In the Guardians of the... Because you gotta read the events, and you also got to read the original Guardians of the Galaxy, like, thing.
Seizure, because, man, there's so many different original
Captain America
Guardians of the
Shield.
Dude. Well, okay, so that wasn't even the original, because there was an older set.
Surely somewhere there's a torrent that has that.
I know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
Starhawk and all those.
Vance.
Astro,
And then there was Starhawk, but Starhawk in that one had, like, a blue, a light sky blue uniform.
Is that
same Starhawk?
Yes. And there are other Starhawks from other universes. Read the fucking comics. They're
so
all amazing.
All that
it will tie
back
all
to,
of that together.
What's the guy who's with Image now? Valentino's.
Yes, Valentino had a run. I believe it was Valentino.
I think you're right.
They all
Firestar was on it too.
Firestar.
No.
Spider-Man's Amazing Friends.
Yeah.
That's how they introduced her.
This was a different one. It was a different girl. And then there was the Rock guy. There was a Rock guy. And,
yeah.
It may have actually been his name.
And then
so they're
the dude with the fin. Remember?
Yeah.
The alien, but he was Badoon, maybe?
It was Badoon.
That's a race now.
Like I know. That's what I was saying. He was a Badoon or something like that.
Yeah.
But
not all of those.
Original, but there's an older set.
Oh, really?
That I think Starhawk was part of the older set. I never understood
Starhawk
even back then.
And they continue to make him...
inscrutable.
They continue to make that character because I don't want to ruin it. There's all kinds of things that happen with Starhawk.
I read part of Starhawk. I thought it's like a Green Lantern corpse type thing.
That's Nova. That's
Nova
like that.
Corpse, that's right.
Yeah. And that's also a fantastic series, by the way. Everything that Cosmic Marvel's done for like the last 5 to 10 years has been fantastic.
Yeah,
and the new Nova's really cool. Did you read the new Nova stuff?
So where do you start?
Annihilation.
I think you start with Annihilation.
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 So you buy the hardback Annihilation.
Yeah, and it's two hardbacks, actually.
Son of a bitch.
Because there's actually because there's a main series, and there's actually four miniseries that lead up to it.
This is why.
Then you get Annihilation 0.1 Consequences.
And Ronan.
Exactly.
Ronan is on there. Isn't the
Annihilation Annual that tells you everything.
You get a bunch of everything. And by the way, like, everything gets involved, right? Like, in all these things, you get Galactus. You get the Herald. All the old Heralds of Galactus. You get Ronan the Accuser. You get the Super Scroll in that shit.
You had me at Herald.
Silver, yeah, you get all of that.
Oh, I dug that.
And just in Annihilation alone, let alone Conquest. In Conquest, you get the fucking Phalanx, and you get the Star Knight
Frank
stuff.
Cho teased, and for Savage Wolverine, the storyline's going to involve a new Galactus.
A new Galactus?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, the reason why I never looked it up on Wikipedia is then you have to type in the word Annihilation.
Autocomplete, man.
yeah, so good.
Analyst is the villain in that.
Is that how lazy we've become?
It
why
was
is
awesome.
This not in my brain already? God damn.
And I honestly can't remember how I ended up finding those and, like, reading them.
Wait a minute.
But they were so cool.
Is Annihilation Prologue, do I have to read that?
It's all, if you get the hardbound, it's all in that.
Do I have to read Drax the Destroyer Earthfall?
That's
you have to. You get to. That's an amazing title.
I'll let you borrow mine if you want.
I'm looking up Wikipedia and I'm just having a
I'll let you borrow my hardbacks if you want.
Can I warn you? Never look up Rachel Gray on
Wikipedia. Jesus.
You will have an aneurysm.
Dude, I was there when all that was going down, man.
I understand
that.
More why you have
your
And
I know where the linchpin is for that.
I can tell you, it's when Cable takes her back to a time before she was cooked. He actually pulls the Turkatron gambit from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. This happens in X-Men.
Robo France 2929.
Yes. She's dead, so Saber takes her back to time when she's not dead. This actually happened.
Oh, God.
Unless I misread it, which is a possibility. I was like, I don't even... Fuck it.
Okay,
I'm out.
There's Annihilation Volume 1, 2, and 3.
Actually, yeah, there's 3, yeah.
See, it grows. It grows. Oh, yeah, there's a third volume out there. There'll be 8 by the time
it's a good day
home.
To annihilate.
I think those are the paperbacks, though. The hardcovers, I think, are just too...
Live Free and Annihilate.
I think I have all of it. I just have 2 hardcovers for that. And Conquest also has...
And then the Inhumans get involved, which is where I got
the Inhumans get involved with the Realm and the War of Kings stuff.
Yeah,
what
versus the
Shi'ar.
What
did you search for to
that
find that list of, like, Annihilation?
Beats me. All
right, here you go. Annihilation, comma, help. And then just click
on ask.com.
To search for
guys, I want to read some Marvel Universe.
Search
shit.
For Teeth, Plaque Conspiracy, and Metallica.
Too old to be Marvel help.
Oh, they're so cool. So cool. I actually reread Annihilation and Annihilation Conquest a couple months ago in anticipation for the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff. And it's, man. So cool. Really hard to find that the Guardians of the Galaxy run by Abnett and Lanning right now. Like, they're just, Marvel's just not reprinting it. So I tried
that
to find.
That seems like a bad idea.
And it's, I dollars to donuts, there's some sort of. Waiting around for
mega
some
bust.
Mega, yeah. There's going to be some sort of Omni collection right before the movie comes out. I'm just really bummed that because I don't have all of them. I don't own all of them.
Yeah.
In the hardbound edition, and I would really like to. And been looking for months now.
I've only spot read them, but what I've read's been good.
Yeah, they got the Soviet dog that, like, runs their base. It's so awesome. His name
yes!
is Cosmo.
Yes! I love that dog.
He is in Guardians of the Galaxy. He runs
that
their fucking
like a Yakov Smirnoff bitch.
And he talks with the Russian accent.
Russia, dog, walk you!
He talks with the Russian accent. He's like, I am thinking you need to teleporting.
Oh,
like, he talks
God.
Like that. And they're based in the Guardians of the Galaxy series, like the Abnett and Lanning one. Their base is the head of an Eternal. Like, the severed head.
Oh,
Eternal,
I think I've read this.
Or
that
Celestial, not
even.
Right.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
of that story is happening inside of the body of an Eternal.
It's true.
Yeah.
Isn't there a X-Men comic right now that? There's a brand new one. It just started, issue number one.
Another X-Men?
Eternal X-Men.
No, it's called
Celestial
X-Men.
0.1.
Point one.
X-Men is.
X-Men, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, Nightcrawler from the. something universe, from the Cancerverse. Age of Apocalypse universe.
Oh, you just reminded me of something.
He's wanting to get back to his universe. So he goes and kidnaps the Dark Beast.
Oh, I heard about this. This is like Dark X-Men or something like that.
Well, no, it's a big multi-crossover between the X-Men that have been reality hopping.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the Age of the Apocalypse. And no, they're not the Exiles now. Extreme X-Men.
That's what it is.
Dazzler's leading them. And you would not believe that's good, but it's got the floating head of Xavier. And telling
what, like Futurama style?
It's got a kid. Yes, exactly. It's got a kid Nightcrawler.
Pink Dazzler turn into a frozen Xavier.
The only and best Dazzler I've ever read is this. And James Howlett. No, so he's not Wolverine. He is Wolverine, but he's them and the floating head of, and their job is to hop across multiverses and kill the Xaviers in each one.
God.
Oh, it's been fun. It's a good ride.
That's wow. All right.
Oh yeah, and long story short, there's this crossover going on between Wolverine and his school, and the Extreme X-Men, and the Age of Apocalypse. And it's all happening. Dark Beast gets kidnapped by the Age of Apocalypse Nightcrawler. He's trying to get back. He forces them. They go inside the head of the sleeping Celestial.
I'm already so confused. I'm so lost.
Okay, did you ever read Neil Gaiman's Eternals?
I've read all of this shit, and I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you remember Neil Gaiman's Eternals?
Absolutely.
The whole thing ends with a Celestial standing there looking over San Francisco.
I thought it was Central Park, but
I thought it was over. Anyway, so it ends there. Well, man, that thing has been used and referenced, you know, ad nauseum.
Sure.
Well, this is the one that's referencing it now, as they're inside of it and using it and leave some hell on Earth and that kind of
thing. We haven't talked Age of Ultron yet. I haven't read any of that.
You haven't read any of it yet?
Really?
Yeah, I just realized that I forgot to, like, look into that.
I don't know.
It's getting a lot of internet buzz.
They need to...
I don't know if that's good or bad.
I think it's about to get good. Well, all right, there's promise with the last comic. Essentially, it's one of those things that starts off and you're in some completely different time frame and universe than what you know, it's not like starting with our guys today and something happens. It's set in the future. Something has already happened.
Right, right.
Yeah.
There's some time fuckery
going on. I didn't like
there.
That because I was kind of like, well, wait a minute. So this isn't some big... you know, story, kind of like Civil War that's growing on. That's
but apparently happening. It is in continuity.
Exactly. It's the last comic that came out.
I haven't read 5 yet.
Okay, well, the last one that came out is teeing it up.
So okay.
Kinda,
yeah. You know, okay. That's what I keep hearing is, like, the endings of these issues have been strong.
Well, exactly. So it starts off, you're in the future, and then it's only the most recent comic where you realize there's time fuckery going on.
Oh.
And so, okay, now some time fuckery is going to really start happening now that the good guys know.
For a second, I thought you said time fuckeria, and I'm wondering what kind of restaurant that would be.
That just means you throw it up.
yeah, I was also going disease there with that. not delicious treats.
Not cafeteria, fuckeria.
You're on the toilet in the future, in the past.
And you're swirling.
Fuckeria!
The telecable was
pretty circling. We're circling the bowl, the metaphorical time bowl.
So yeah, this promise. But to date, it's just been kind of, you know, anybody. I just have a constant beef with when you do some Elseworld thing. You can do a whole lot of creative shit. You know? I always enjoy the ones where you can do some creative shit that's actually in continuity. So I was kind of disappointed with this one hopped over to an Elseworld.
Well,
but if they're pulling it back,
I've heard that as well. Just like Aaron was saying, apparently it is completely 100% in continuity.
Yeah.
And when I saw what they did to, like the first couple of issues were okay. They're just really setting up stuff. And then when in that third issue, I think it was third or fourth with Black Widow. They show, like, her face and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, okay.
Oh, that was what got you?
At first, I was like, okay. That was, like, my first sign, I guess is what I'm saying, that, like, this is a little bit more, they're gonna fuck with things a little bit in a little more interesting way. And
oh,
kind
I
of,
gotta read this one.
And kind of.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed because.
And the Spider-Man stuff was like, damn.
Damn Savage Land.
Oh, yeah.
The linchpin of the entire Marvel universe. I mean, it's not Earth. It's the Savage Land. Everything.
Wakanda and the Savage Land.
And And I don't give a shit how important it is. Kazar. I don't even see Kazar. I don't give a fuck about
Most people
about
say
Kazar,
Kazar, but yeah.
True.
Whatever it is. But damn it. And fuck him. I don't want to pronounce his name right. Oh, here's the Kazar appearance. Damn it. So if I don't ever see him again, I'll be too sorry.
You reminded me something earlier that this goes back to DC being terrible. You guys have heard about this WTF event?
What?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, it's coming out, I think, now-ish. And,
all I heard was there WTF? Was a problem with their marketing. I never heard what the story was.
Here's the story beat. It's awful. Apparently they're going to start, I believe Booster Gold is going to remembers pre-Flashpoint continuity.
Oh.
So they're already ear-cocking their continuity again.
Why?
Because they're DC and they
Why
hate
Why
do
they even do that?
I don't.
Because the Booster Gold's not doing anything else interesting right
I
now.
I guess. I don't know.
Neither's anyone else.
Apparently the F stands for Flashpoint.
That's why that would have been my guess.
What, the Flashpoint?
Yeah. That's the thing you're upset about?
I'm just shaking my head at DC.
Yeah.
They had finally the way to bust out of the continuity problems that these companies have.
Continuity problems are like their hot girlfriend they just can't leave, even though she's a crazy bitch.
They pulled it off. Like, in a way, they pulled it off. No one's been able to really, truly pull it off the way they did
this time around with the reboot of everything.
Not recently. '86.
Yeah, but it was like
true that.
But it wasn't the same. I guess, you know, with all the what's his name, John Byrne, Superman stuff, and
yeah,
all that. But it just going back and observing some of that stuff, it didn't seem as clean a cut as this new stuff. Like, it just for the main titles anyway, it looked like they finally just kind of cleaved off the old stuff.
For the most part, I would.
And then
you have
the Batman still has all this other stuff.
Right.
And
Crisis on Infinite Earth, the first of the 12 crises, really did do that pretty well as well.
Yeah,
back in '85 and '86.
Right.
I think
it
they keep
like
going back.
They can't leave well enough alone.
Exactly.
Leave well enough alone.
Like, stop
it. Is like, it's easier. Well, my opinion of what's going on is it's easier to write an Elseworld.
Mm-hmm.
It's always easier to write an Elseworld because you can do more stuff with it. And so they're falling into the trap of, well, all right, we'll just Elseworld our present world, you know, and then when it gets too far out of whack,
we'll go back
again. And it gets like an addiction. They're going back to it more and more. They 0 hour. There's, you know, the infinite crisis. Oh, it busts open reality, you know, the reality wall that you start to understand, you know, that. The reality wall they have that have all these bodies of bad people that break out of it. You start to understand why. Those are all the people that have tried to... That wall's growing thick.
Those are all
scabs.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a metaphor.
It's the cancer.
Exactly,
it's the cancer verse. Let's be honest.
It keeps growing.
Everybody into this episode.
Wailing and moaning.
Into this podcast, actually. It's just weaving its way into all of our conversations.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's so stupid. But that's what
These are reboots that were perhaps before their time.
I can't believe they made, and again, this is just more of my childhood bitching right now, but that they made it where Tim Drake was never a Robin. I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
Boo on you, DC.
But why is he, what's his purpose of being there then, if that's the case?
Fuck if I know. It's just like, hey,
is it just
Batman?
People will be upset.
Batman takes on dark-haired children.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, the second issue of Carrie Kelly is going to hold her down and spray paint her head. You got to be Robin for me! Let go of me!
And we got our first transgender Robin. Ah!
And I thought they were actually heading towards a different Robin because there's this been.
Yeah, this, what's her name?
He broke her nose?
Yeah.
God damn, by the way. It was. Man, they made him an asshole.
That starts at the end of the, I think at the end of the Court of Owls thing.
They introduce her.
It feels like he got that
she
idea
has a
from
brother.
Them. Well, fine, they have tons of talents. I'm going to have tons of Robins.
Yeah, that's shit. Batman and all his Robins.
They're going to call it Round Robin when they all fight each other.
I would read that, by the way.
Take it, DC. Take it. It's free.
And at the end, you can reboot it. No, don't worry about it.
That's right.
Crisis of Infinite Robins.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
They're kind of there already, aren't they?
Yeah. You, and you... Super Robin.
That's he's from a different universe.
Barry Allen, you know, said, yeah. In one universe, he took on Martian Manhunter in the other.
Martian Man Robin.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, Batman yeah. League of America.
Beetle Robin.
Beetle Robin. Blue Robin, Red Robin, Green Robin.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
What, like Power Rangers?
Plaid Robin.
Sylvester Robin.
Oh, God. That would be horrible. Not sound good to me.
Man.
God, that would be horrible. Well, it's no worse than anything else that DC's put out.
Yeah, there you go.
Is Constantine? Has anybody read that?
I will read them. I am slated to. I have not read them yet.
Okay.
The first two issues, that is. I'm intrigued by this Justice League Dark idea that he's all in.
Yeah, I haven't read a lick of
it. But I'm a total noob. I haven't read nothing yet.
Now, Neil Gaiman's coming out with something.
Marvel. He's writing for freaking Marvel. And he's taking Angela with him. The end of Age of Ultron will have Angela in it.
Oh, thank God. The greatest ass of all
Riyadh,
time.
Riyadh will be... Yeah. Yeah. So I think...
I love the subtext, though. That's such a... You know what, McFarlane... This is my dick. Please suck upon it.
That's what it is. A better dick. It's just Angela, you know.
But here's what I'm hoping that all of this, I'm hoping all of this gets roped into Marvel Man and Neil Gaiman writes Marvel Man. If he writes Marvel Man, like Miracle Man, you know.
Everyone wants that to happen, but the.
That's gonna have to
the rights are still fucked seven
they
ways
have,
from
seven. They have the Miracle Man rights. Marvel has them.
Some of them.
No, they only have some of them.
Yeah, it's like it's a time total
fine.
Goddamn.
Let Gaiman write around it. Let Gaiman write around it.
This is like worse than time fuckery. This is like
you can blame
fuckery.
It all. Like, here, perfect. Blame all everything that Neil Gaiman can't write about Miracle Man because of the rights problems on Angela, and write what he can, and make new shit.
I don't know.
I can't even bring myself to even be remotely excited about Angela.
I'm not excited like about Angela. I'm excited about Neil Gaiman doing something that clearly they don't want to talk about yet. And
yeah,
they've had Miracle Man on the docket for a couple of years now, and they've done nothing.
If they let him, like, take Angela...
Remind me, is he co-writing Age of Ultron or Guardians with Bendis? Ooh. Gaiman.
Gaiman
is... it's the end of Age of Ultron.
He's at the end of Age of Ultron.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which means something will be springboarding on that, obviously.
Yeah, that's supposedly one of the big things that's coming out. And spoilers,
like,
we should warn for
Well, these are actually, at this point, they're rumors. So, but my understanding is she joins the Guardians.
That would be cool.
I would actually hope
Naked Angels in Space.
Just like Sandman, where it was one thing, that he could take it and make it into something else entirely. Because Warrior Angel, that actually, you know, you give that to Gaiman. You know, so...
Yeah.
Anything like that. If he's allowed to, like, do that, like what he did with Sandman, you know, where he just took that and turned it into something else entirely, that I'd be all for. That'd
I'm
be
hoping
awesome.
It becomes more
I
than
just
what
hope
she's
it's
been.
Not,
I hope she becomes more than what she's been because she's not an image property anymore.
I
she's,
give a damn about ass cheeks. I'm
yeah,
sorry, Riyadh.
I couldn't
I know you're
care either.
This right now.
I could not care less either. I want that character to actually do something cool. Well, and it's a new character in the Marvel Universe that.
Well, you know, Riyadh's listening to this going, she does something cool every time she's on the
right.
Page.
Yeah, and so does Spawn, but come on. that's what he would say. That,
I,
not
I
what
think
I
think there's a good chance, though. I mean, she's been a one note character, so if they can just get a second note.
Yeah,
it was
boom.
Two notes. It was two notes. It was two cheeks. You can hear Riyadh. He's arguing with this audio right now.
I would really like to see a Miracle Man thing come out of Neil Gaiman's head. And
oh, I think we all would, man.
I
but my
really hope that happens.
There's the
plus, they got Disney now, so I hope that Disney hammer slams down.
Oh.
Bring it down, baby.
No. He's right about that. The
what?
Disney
Bring
hammer
Bring the
is,
Disney hammer.
That is the only.
It is a mouse-shaped
You don't
behemoth.
Fuck with the mouse. In the words of the immortal Harlan Ellison, if anyone can unfuck those rights, it'll be the Diz.
They got the money at least to do it.
Okay.
Bring it on. I want to see that.
You're just talking about the legal strength of Disney.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm like,
not an actual
well, Disney makes great stuff. You seen Ariel? Holy shit. You know?
Little Mermaid, yeah.
Exactly. My brain turned in loops for a second. So how many years before we get a Star Wars Marvel crossover?
I've said it before, I'll say it again. I would pay good money to see Captain America beat the shit out of Jar Jar Binks with his shield. I would just 15 minutes of just kung, kring, clang. Just, yeah.
I just kind of would like to pretend he never happened.
Just watch him do that.
If I never think about him ever again, that would be good.
I like the thought of Iron Man telling Vader there's so many better ways that
you can hook up your shit.
Okay, so here's the fun thing.
Here's how to hook up your shit, dude.
When Disney gives Marvel the license, this is going to happen, clearly. Who do you guys want writing and drawing it in their stable?
Star Wars?
Yeah.
Hmm. Fuck it, Warren Ellis.
I guess when Warren does do stuff right now, it is with Marvel.
Every now and then, you give him like a little miniseries to write.
Millar.
Miller's 100% independent right now.
God damn it. I don't care. That's who I want.
But I suspect you can get him back with Star Wars.
I want Hitch
and Miller.
Miller. That would be Warren Ellis.
And Warren Ellis and Clayton Crane. I want some dark cosmic technological shit coming out of those guys in Star Wars.
Yeah, but I just don't think it would be the. Well, I don't know.
I don't want it to be Star Wars like you're doing.
I have three words for you: G.I. Joe Resolute. Warren wrote that with absolutely no idea what the hell G.I. Joe was.
On purpose.
That's the best part of it.
And then the producer was like, "Perfect. Yeah. Here's the shit. Just read it and let it come."
I don't want a Star Wars comic that's in the same in tone as all the other Star Wars stuff.
That's true.
I want to see what that dude can do with that material.
That'd be fun.
And go into some complex explanation of how some weird technological thing that the linchpin of the entire plot hangs on, and just have it be crazy.
I think I'd pick Wade. I think it's unconventional, Mark Waid. But I think Mark Waid.
He could do a good job too. He could do a real good job.
Yeah,
I like Mark Waid.
He did
Artist. I don't know.
Kingdom Come, Daredevil.
No, I was thinking of Irredeemable.
Irredeemable.
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
And Incorruptible.
When you say that, I'm like, yeah, that'd work.
He's proven he can write a whole different gamut of characters really well. And I don't know, they have so many awesome arrows they could throw at it. I'm just like, you know what, just double shift the bitch. I want 24 issues a year. Let's make this happen.
Okay, so the round robin that we did in the last podcast.
The bracket of Kajalabru.
Now, the bracket of Kajalabru, that's right. Would it be fair in this podcast to talk about, like, did any of you go back and read any of those?
Because I think the next podcast
is going to be more of the same.
I think that's a good way to close this
round and round. But
a good way to go.
Did any of you guys go back and read any of the ones?
I haven't been able. So the only one left on my list is G.I. Joe. I haven't read quote unquote that one yet.
I want to see the look of regret on your face because you were the one. You were the one that killed it. You are the Kung Fu Man.
Yeah, but they don't do Kung Fu. Okay.
No Kung Fu.
You said you would get hit by it again.
I'm telling you. Yeah. And I'm telling you, you're going to read that, and you're just be like, I can't believe
it. Hey, for what it's worth, I'm totally glad you put it on there, because it is one of the 32 best issues ever. It merited consideration.
You know, I'm kind of kicking myself because something I didn't mention when I was building my case for that Green Lantern one with Mogo, I'm just like, why the fuck didn't I mention it? It's written by Alan Moore and drawn by Dave Gibbons.
Oh, balls.
You didn't mention
that? I didn't fucking mention that.
I didn't hear that, so you must not have mentioned
it. I'm listening to the podcast, I'm like, why the fuck didn't I say this?
No kidding. Yeah, that's something else entirely. I'm just picturing... Boy, you really loved that planet. Really made an impression on it.
Dave Gibbons, he's okay.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All
right, I'll just figure
I put that out there. It's like the back matter of this, like, Green Lantern combo issue, but, like, it's multiple pages. It's awesome.
I was really struck by how it seemed like a lot of us, we had very different criterion for how we were rating these things, which I think is good.
No lie.
Yeah, I think it keeps the conversation cool.
I read Midnight Run. I read the whole damn thing.
Midnight Nation.
Midnight Run, very different thing.
I thought they were great in that airplane. A lot of curse words.
Oh, man. I would Man. Oh, God. That would be amazing.
God. I read that. That one didn't win me over, but Ex Machina.
Where did it lose you? I was very curious about when you said that. You're literally the only person I know who doesn't like it.
After the first, so I read the whole thing.
Yeah.
Sure.
And it's not that it lost me. It's just like, particularly like that one issue where, you know, they just,
definitely,
yeah, it just seemed, the term that comes to mind is heavy handed.
Actually, no, Ty. JMS, especially his later stuff, it's very like, you're not smart enough to understand my brilliance. And it comes out in the tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of what bothered me a little bit. I mean, I enjoyed the read, don't get me wrong, but
yeah.
It's kind of turned me off a little bit.
That one. But then reading Ex Machina, I'm just like, oh,
hell yeah.
I'm going to be driving to the store and buying all the rest of these goddamn hardbacks.
Ex Machina is a Stephen J. Connell 80s show made as a comic book. That's what it is. That's kind of how I explain it.
Yeah, that feel you're right.
Oh,
just missing it. It's missing the Jeep flip superhero. Over.
Yeah. Yeah, but I would still argue the first issue of it wasn't one the thing that got me. It was more got into it and they built the side characters. And
the whole series is great.
The side characters really is like, oh, okay, this is an ensemble thing. As soon as you get the picture of the ensemble, and then he kills one.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm in. All right. His wife did it. Yeah, I'm totally in. You got me. Here I go. And I could read all of his shit forever. Are you guys reading Saga?
Hell yes.
Okay. Apple be damned.
Yeah.
Apple, what?
Wait, you hear about this.
It was, and then it wasn't. Like,
right.
You know, it was Comixology ultimately being stupid. But so Saga 12 came out, and there's like a... Well, there's a homosexual sex scene in like postage stamp size on a page, and like Comixology said that they weren't allowed to sell it through the Apple, like in the app, in the Comixology app on Apple because of that, because it violated that scene or whatever, that page violated Apple's terms of service or whatever, and
being serviced.
And so there's this whole huge hoopla. Hold on, let me finish because I'll bring it to a safer, warmer place. So,
bad choice of words.
But not the anus of a man. Anyway, so what ended up happening was it was all a mistake. It wasn't Apple's fault at all. Comixology misinterpreted Apple's terms of service and pulled the issue because they thought there was going to be a problem. Turns out there wasn't any, and they put it back. So by the time you picked it up, if you have already in Comixology on your iPad or whatever, it was pulled and then put back.
I was going to pick it up, but now I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to have it because. If it ever goes down someday, they'll all be gone.
Well, if Comixology goes down, all your Saga issues are dead. So that's why I buy the collection. That's why I buy the trades, man.
I made a vow 7 years ago. BKB, I only buy hardbacks.
That's fair. Buy
the okay. 12 issues in.
Yeah, he'll do the 12 issue hardcover.
And I'm already sold on like the if the omnibus comes out. it's just an amazing series.
Staples is killing on it too.
Is that her first real breakthrough? Or did she have another comic?
She has been in, but this by far is her biggest thing.
Oh, my God. I love her.
Did you guys read this thing he's doing with Marcos Martin? He's got like his... It's like completely creator-owned. It's only released online. You pay what you want for it. God, what the hell is the name of it?
Yeah, it's open-source comic. And I so want to encourage it. America, give him money.
I did. I gave him money, and I got the first issue. It's pretty cool. It's like it's set in a world where... privacy is very important, so everybody has their own, like, identity that they, like, secret identity that they go out into the world with, but finding out who is who is, like, part of this guy's, like, he's a PI, basically, doing stuff in this world he lives in where everybody has, like, a very strong secret identity thing, like normal people do. Like, they wear masks and other things to change their body shape and everything as well with technology.
All the names of the characters in the book are people who have paid on the Kickstarter. Hey, look, there's a guy named Ari!
Yeah, there's, like, all kinds of, like... It's cool. I think it's gonna be something. Only one issue's out right now, but like they're just doing it on their own. Like they're completely of their own volition.
I'm trying to think of something bad he's ever done.
BKB?
Yeah. I mean, I can't.
Yeah, dude's fantastic.
He did some Age of Apocalypse stuff that wasn't amazing, but it wasn't bad.
The most impressive work was still that I was on the last. This was it. I was going to watch no more Lost. One more episode. And it was a decree. And then I found out he was staying. I saw it was the first one where he was going, or where BKV was going to be writing it. Or anyway,
is this Exposure?
He wasn't principal. I can't remember the name of it.
Because he wrote two or three. He wrote he started in three.
Yeah.
A bit of
yeah.
Lost trivia. He wrote what's considered to be one of the worst ones ever, which I thought was interesting. Exposure from season three.
That one with Nikki and Paolo,
which I actually liked.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Yeah, I don't. I people are wrong.
They died, right?
Yeah.
That's what I loved about it. I thought it was great. Yeah.
I think that was his first one, or one of it, at least one of his first ones with a major writing credit.
Yeah, I can't remember. It was right around that era, though, because it was right after all the tailies stuff, with all the people from the tail end of the crowd.
The tailies were season two. Yeah.
That's right, and I hated that. The end of it. The beginning, the setup was good, and then they just couldn't deliver.
Well, they eventually just killed them all. I know. Because they couldn't drive.
In real life.
Well, yeah.
So anyway, that was always BKV's most impressive work to me, was that he kept me on for something I was going to give up on.
His Mystique run was awesome.
I don't think I ever read that.
He did very briefly in the early 2000s a Mystique book that was basically Alias, the television series, but with Mystique as the lead.
Interesting.
That's pretty cool. That's fun.
Just for reference, the name of the Marcos Martin BKV book I was mentioning is called The Private Eye. EYE. Yeah.
Good stuff. Private Eye. The other thing from the Bracket podcast was the inherent problem with pitting the two issues of Whatever Happened to Man Tomorrow.
Yes, and that's really where we're headed towards a very sad situation.
I actually,
that's really one story.
It is
so
story.
Painful to have it. I find it so funny that both of
brackets,
them.
We're like, once we call the first round, or we then rejigger the brackets where if there's things like that, that they go against each other. So kind of like, I don't know if you guys read Deadspin or not, but they had a bracket contest for the greatest curse word. And so they had body functions was one bracket, mixed bag was another, then, consistent curse words in the same group. They whittled those down and then had the big competition. We can do the same thing because we have,
regionals basically.
Regionals. Yeah, exactly. And that's what it is, you pit one versus four of Dark Knight Returns.
We have two and four. Yeah. We've got Watchmen 4 and 11.
Right, exactly.
Did those both advance?
I don't remember. Maybe they did.
Somebody's been hiding the bracket the entire time. I wanted to study up on
Riyadh has it.
And he's of a bitch has waited a month and still has not even provided us the Excel spreadsheet that he made that worked like shit and had Cyrus voting against his own works. Selection.
Wow, the shit talking.
again, this is why you don't miss the episode.
Let
this be a lesson to it.
This may happen.
But,
I think we ought to do that. I think we ought to set them against each other that way. Because otherwise, all those things, it's going to be those stories just going to filter up to the top.
I think they will. I'm kind of curious to see how this is going to, I'm kind of thinking, I'm, doing the thing in my head where you're like, I wonder who's going to win this thing. And I'm kind of projecting who I think the final four will be. And
I'm afraid it's going to be twos and twos of.
Two Dark Knight entries will are going to go a long way.
Yeah,
I thought they should. It sounds like Kingdom Come number 4 is apparently pretty highly regarded across the board. Maybe not Wabi because he's not a Superman guy. I think Watchmen 11 is going to go a long way. I'm actually not in on that as much as you guys are, but I'm getting the feeling I'm a minority on that. So.
We'll see. Yeah. Keyshawn just wants the G.I. Joe thing back.
Yeah,
pull Alexi and.
Get
rid of the. Whatever happens to the Man of Tomorrow, both of those, and bring in G.I. Joe.
Compared to Quiet Book.
Should we end there?
Quiet Book.
Quiet Book and podcast. Broadcasting from the Cancerverse, this has been.
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Full of Sound and Fury podcast, not from the Cancerverse, but we're all going to go there shortly, it sounds like. not with us tonight, working his ass off and hiding things that we wanted to talk about.
Let's go hack his computer.
Was Riyad Wabi. But who was with us tonight was A-Rod.
Hey.
and Keyshawn the Vengeful. I remain your host, Cyrus Mornazavi, and we will hopefully try to finish up the bracket, like I said earlier, pretty soon. Probably about a week or so check back with us. This has been a Rise Again production, copyright 2013.